about. You gotta put it in perspective.
Viewers at home, what you're about to see is disturbing footage. What you're about to hear, if you're listening, is extremely graphic. If you have small children with you, you might want to have them leave the room or cover their ears and eyes. Are you ready? All right.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
We go late to the first quarter. Last night, James Harden with the basketball. Wesley Johnson guarding the beard. Roll it.
Harden one-on-one here. Yeah, James doubling up the Clippers. Clean up on aisle three. Clean up on aisle three. Someone call someone because there's a clean up on aisle three as a man is down.
Actually, the worst part of that, according to my gal, Allie McKay from K-Rock, is someone call someone. Someone call someone.
Someone call someone.
I was on K-Rock this morning. She hated that. Allie hated that. Someone call someone.
And now.
It gave me a boner.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Monday, the 5th of March.
How about that, Allie?
I'm his gal. Allie gal. K-Rock.
How funny was that?
I love it. He's
love
the best.
He's the best. Man, that's an entertaining show. And you can now watch it on the TV. It's on the CBS Sports Network. You can also listen to it if you have the SiriusXM satellite radio. And, of course, JimRome.com. But love our man Jim that we talk to every Thursday.
Same.
How are you, kids?
Good.
Good, you?
I'm not going to watch the Oscars anymore. I'm just not. I can't.
Because they're still going on?
Because they might still be going on from last night. They're just too boring, right? Am
yes.
I wrong?
Yes.
I mean, they're just so boring.
Every year I say, this is so boring. Why am I watching it?
Here's the thing about it, though, is, and you hate to say it this way, but this is the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody that's there that gets awarded deserves it.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
But I don't care who wins cinematography, and I don't care who wins, you know what I mean? I don't mm-hmm. care about most of the awards. There's like 5, 6 awards you care about.
Yeah. I don't care about those.
Yeah.
I mean, how does it matter? Look. And this is the thing, and this is an argument that's been going on forever. Can acting really be competitive? Is it really possible to say that this actor did a better job in this role than this actor, this completely different actor, did a better job in a completely different role?
I mean, technically, no.
The only way to really decide that is to have them both do the role, and then you can decide who's better.
Or dance off.
Dance off is a good idea.
Good.
Yeah, thank you.
So, I mean, look, it's a tremendous honor. And for people who are actors or anyone in any field in the motion picture business, it's the highest achievement that there is. And Kevin is absolutely right. I'm not trying to take anything away from them. It's turned into terrible television.
It's just so stiff and so ding. It's so boring to watch. I watched the Spirit Awards on Saturday afternoon. Mm-hmm. Why? No idea. Had it on, watched John Mulaney and Nick Kroll host it. And they were so funny and it was so loose and people were having such fun.
Yep.
That's what's missing from the Oscars. It's not fun. Nobody's enjoying themselves. They're counting down till their award. And then when they can get the hell out of there, it's awful.
Or are they counting down to their awards so that they can use it to stand on stage and make an important statement rather than an entertaining speech?
Both.
Because, look, the messages were very important last night and long overdue, but it was 4 hours of hearing about diversity. That's what that show was last night,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And I know that the motion picture industry, as along with many other industries, has a long way to go to get on board with some things like that. But it doesn't make an entertaining show.
No.
Look, white guy doesn't want to hear about diversity. We hear you.
I got the message.
We get it.
Look at all the black people we've hired on this show. We've got the message, okay? We clearly are doing our part.
Okay.
Huh.
I hope.
I don't think
not to take anything away from the great Jimmy Kimmel, by the way, who was tremendous as always.
Yeah, he was great.
But there were very few entertaining speeches, right?
Yeah, agreed.
Very few.
More Jimmy, less speeches.
Kevin, you would have, I'm sure you hated it, but one of my favorite moments of the entire broadcast last night was when Eva Marie Saint came out, who is 93 years old and was so adorable and told funny stories and looked like, Allie, exactly what you were talking about, she looked like she was having a great time up there.
Right.
But she was
93.
Alone.
93.
She was alone having
was
a good
after.
Time.
No, I don't think so. She got a standing ovation when she came out. I think people
Think she was 93. Wow.
Yeah.
No, that's crazy.
Yeah.
And how about Rita Moreno, by the way, because I only care about the old people.
Right.
Who shows up, Kevin, if you didn't hear this or see this last night, she shows up in the same dress that she wore when she won her Academy Award in 1962.
Yep. Wow.
And she's wearing the same dress.
Not only the same dress, she did an alteration on the top. So it was even more kind of rare. What's up, Anita? West Side Story. She looked incredible. What a talent that woman is.
She very much is. And I like that. I like that that they acknowledge old Hollywood. And I know mm-hmm. that's not for everybody. A lot of people are tuning in because they want to see, you know, Jennifer Lawrence. And I totally get that, too. But I do like the through line of those types of actors. That's why I think it's cool when they bring out a Jane Fonda or when they bring out a Warren Beatty. You know, I think it's great that those people are still part of the broadcast.
And I think last night was kind of going over on that because it was the 90th.
Yeah,
so it was
I think so,
like a special thing.
What'd you think of the montages? I loved them.
Oh, wow. See, we're very different. My exact
thought they were
words
so
were,
well edited.
My exact thoughts were, we all love movies. That's mm-hmm. why we're here watching it. Stop showing us a ton of movies. We're already here. Not selling us.
I agree with Bean. They were super well done.
Sure.
And I agree with Allie. The first one that they started playing, I thought, are we trying to lengthen the show?
Right?
Let's cut this out.
Hey, you guys, not sure if you're aware of movies, but here are some movies. Come on!
And I know I've complained every year that we've been doing this show about the awards in the middle that you don't care about.
Yeah.
You know, the animated short and those types
of things. That's 3 hours of the 4 hours.
It seems like it, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, it was great last night because I was able to switch over and watch The Walking Dead and not miss anything. But I get that those are important, certainly to the people in those industries. But, I mean, there's a lot of stuff they decide to not put on the telecast. That's why they have a whole separate telecast for the science and the technical. And, by the way, even things like Lifetime Achievement Awards, they don't even put on the real broadcast anymore. You saw that video they showed last night of Donald Sutherland getting his last night. That would have been more entertaining than animated short.
Yeah. Yeah.
Although animated short, Kobe Bryant did win, which was kind of bizarre, right?
That is strange.
And didn't get booed. What was up with that?
Well,
Especially last night of all. Is it because it was in Los Angeles and everybody adores him because of the Lakers?
No, it's because Hollywood progressives tend to be some of the most hypocritical human beings on the face of the earth.
Because it did seem like
I said it.
On the Me Too night, it seemed like he would have been ripe for a booing, I would think. But that didn't happen. All right, I know we're going to talk a ton about the Oscars later on, and Allie, you got a lot on what's happening with that. But I do want to leave you with one fun fact because I thought this was amazing. Something that happened on the Oscars last night.
That was Beans.
Fun fact.
Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show.
Not yet. Robert Lopez won an Oscar for Best Original Song. He and his wife Kristen Anderson Lopez. They wrote Remember Me from Coco, which I think was the song that, what's-his-face sang badly on the program last night.
Yes. Gael Garcia.
Yeah, what's-his-face?
Bernal.
Right.
Those three didn't work out right there.
Good work, Allie.
El Bernal
Way
Garcia.
To bring it to life.
I mean, if I had written that song and was up for an Oscar, I would be very sad that was the performance that was introducing it to everybody who hadn't seen the Coco
movie. It wasn't ideal.
It wasn't good.
But that was his voice in the movie. He wasn't great in the movie. Benjamin Bratt's voice was better in the movie, but... All right, go ahead.
So how did Robert Lopez make history last night when he and his wife won the Oscar for Best Original Song? For Remember Me from Coco.
Allie has
I'm not seeing any hands up.
My hand is up.
I can't see any hands up.
My hand is up.
Kevin, do you know?
I don't.
Chip, do you know? Allie?
He's not only an EGOT, which means the Emmy, Grammy, Oscar, Tony. Mm-hmm. He's now an EGOT because he has two Oscars. Right?
You are close.
Aw, damn it.
That was Beans.
Fun fact.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin
Beans. There are 12 EGOTs in the world, including names you know like Whoopi Goldberg, Mel Brooks, Rita Moreno, in fact, is an EGOT. So she's won the Emmy, the Grammy, the Oscar, and the Tony. What Robert Lopez has done is he is the only person in the world who has achieved a double EGOT.
Yay!
He's gotten two of each?
At least two of each. He has won two Oscars because he and his wife also wrote Let It Go from Frozen. He has won 2 Emmy Awards for his work on the series Wonder Pets. He has won 3 Grammys, and he has won 2 Tonys. He did the music, by the way, the score for Book of Mormon and for Avenue Q.
Mm.
Talented dude. He now has – he's a double EGOT, and he is only 43 years old.
I think the best part of that whole thing was – did you see his speech? His wife says to the kids, you guys, this is for you. Keep dreaming. The most beautiful thing. Then he takes the Oscar and he goes, but this isn't for you. This is for my mom. And I was like, what? Just what?
That happened 2 or 3 times.
The most bizarre thing I've ever seen. He was like, let me just slap these kids down for a second.
They need to know their place.
Holy crap.
Yeah, that was pretty sweet.
I did notice the mom was motioning the kids to stay in their seats because they had to go backstage and do some press. And
yeah.
She had to still be a mom. She just won another Oscar, but she still had to be a mom. And she was motioning for the kids, don't leave your seats. I'll be right back. But that's pretty remarkable at 43, by the way, to be a double EGOT.
Wow,
right?
I thought it was just double Oscar. That's insane.
Very, very talented. All right, that was a fun fact.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
You're a beautiful dummy. Does it make you a bad person?
We have Matt Bellany coming in studio from The Hollywood Reporter. He goes to the Oscars, of course, and to all the after parties.
He'll be hungover, right? Or still awake, still drunk?
I assume so, yeah. Every Monday, we check in with Harvey Levin from TMZ. We have your tickets for April Foolishness in the 6 o'clock hour. We're going to play a game. Highlights of the Oscars. We have great news today. And Robert Kirkman.
Who?
Robert Kirkman will be joining us in studio. Creator of The Walking Dead. What?
I know him as Kingman.
That's some dude said that one time, but he was completely wrong. So that's coming up this morning. We'll take a break. We'll come back with what's happening next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:52.
It is a Monday morning. That means we roll out a new destination for you with K-Rock Wheels Up 2018. This time it's Imagine Dragons. Check this out, you guys. You see him at the Forum in July, and the grand prize that you get before that, if you are selected next Monday, is to see them in May in Sydney, Australia.
Oh, I've always wanted to go to Australia.
Imagine Dragons in Sydney.
Pretty cool.
Got a chance for you to win the local tickets, qualify for the world travel at 9 a.m. this morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Allie, 5:52, what's happening?
Well, you know I like to keep you abreast of what's happening in the lottery world.
Sure.
Yes. No winner in Saturday night's drawing of the Powerball lottery. That means Wednesday night's drawing is valued at $348 million. That is a $207 million cash value.
All right.
So I think maybe as a team here, we go in on a ticket.
I don't hate it.
Split it up. Since it's my idea, I get the majority.
It's got to be equal. It's got to be equal.
Yeah, I don't know how it works. But, okay.
Everyone that can sign their name on the ticket is part of the drawing.
Equally?
Yes.
Allie, do you ever buy lottery tickets?
I did for the one that was really, really big, like a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
But no.
I bought 5 tickets for this one.
You did?
Yes. And I don't know if it's some kind of a record or if I get a payout or something, but none of my numbers matched.
Oh, yeah.
Any of them.
Yeah,
that's
you definitely
common.
Get a payout.
With 5 of them,
common.
0 of them.
Yeah.
I didn't have one of the numbers that was pulled.
So not one number
not a,
on
not
all 5.
Not a single one on all 5, yeah.
Hmm.
So I didn't know if I like win half of it or how that works.
I mean, we can check.
Okay.
But I'm not positive.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Some box office for you guys before we get to some Oscar winners, because people still went to the movies and they are still seeing Black Panther in their third week, coming in at number one with just another $65.7 million. Holy.
65 in the third week.
Unbelievable.
I will tell you, though, that I feel like as a result of what's been going on in Hollywood that we were talking about with the Oscars last night, I think Black Panther is going to get nominated for Best Picture next year.
It might, yeah.
I do. I think Wonder Woman would have had this happened a year ago. I think people realize now that was a real oversight, as great as that movie was. And I think Black Panther is going to be up for one next year.
Do you think the Academy's like, oh, we can actually give awards to movies that were super enjoyable, that a ton of people saw? And enjoyed, instead of these little rinky-dink movies that only D-bags go and see.
Well, I don't know if that's accurate.
I mean, it is.
Doesn't mean there's not some great movies in that
super
category.
Accurate. No, there's great movies in it. No one saw them.
By the way, several,
no one saw
of
those
the,
movies.
Several of the Best Picture nominees this year made over $100 million, by the way.
So defensive.
Right?
Slow down. He liked that fish one. Right? Grinding Nemo. You enjoy that one, Bean?
Did.
Coming in number two, Red Sparrow debuted at 17 million. Another debut, Death Wish, came in at third with 13 million, followed by Game Night, Peter Rabbit, Annihilation, Jumanji, Welcome to the Jungle, still in the top 10, by the way. Followed by 50 Shades Freed, The Greatest Showman, and Every Day. All right, moving on to the Oscars. You guys, here's a list of the big winners. First of all, the best picture was The Shape of Water. Bean, big fan?
I thought it was, look, there were several movies I would have been happy to see take away that prize, as much as I don't really care who wins. I thought that was a great movie.
Okay.
Did you see it, Kevin?
I didn't, and I'll tell you, from the standpoint of not having seen it, every clip they show looked ridiculous.
It looks like a fake, like
really,
a parody.
It
right?
really does look low rent and like a parody, but everyone who's seen it
loves
it.
But it's kind of like, and Ali, I don't think you liked La La Land, but you know how it kind of had a dream quality to it where there were some things that happened that weren't real.
Right.
But they see, it's kind of, it's that sort of thing a little bit.
Look, I love Guillermo del Toro, so I'm going to see it, but
you should.
Not seen it, when you look at those clips, it really does look like a high school project.
Yeah, it's crazy. It reminds me a little bit, and I tweeted about it last night, just the clips of the Mighty Boosh, The Legend of Old Greg. And that'll be funny to four people out there, but...
That's our audience.
Worth it. Worth it. Best actress went to Frances McDormand from Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri.
And you think she has some things to say?
She is nutty and wonderful and fantastic, and I enjoy her.
I do, too. She's crazy.
Yeah.
And I love crazy.
Yeah, you do.
And I like a career where she's done consistently great work ever since, but she won an Academy Award over 20 years ago and just won another one.
Yeah, not bad. Best actor went to Gary Oldman for Darkest Hour. Best director, Guillermo del Toro, The Shape of Water. I was reading things about him last night. He might be the nicest man in Hollywood.
Really?
People were just gushing about how kind this man is. A friend of mine went to see a screening that he was at, and he stood outside and talked to every single person.
Really?
And my friend said it was one of those things where you just tell him how much he meant to you, and he genuinely looked like he cared, which might be acting, or he might be the greatest human on the face of the earth.
Let's say greatest human.
Let's say that, because my God, about time he won.
We were at Comic-Con, and we were eating in a restaurant where he was, and our former promotions director, Aisa, loves him. So I got up and went and asked him. He was going to the restroom, unfortunately.
Okay.
I got up and walked across the restaurant and said, would you mind taking a picture with my friend? She's such a huge fan. And he said, and I said, yeah, I'll go get her. And he's like, no, I'll just come with you to your table.
Oh.
And he came over to the table and took a picture. It was just amazing.
What a man. I love it.
Then he peed his pants right there. But, I mean, it's a great story up until that point.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting that ending. Yeah. Best original screenplay, Jordan Peele with Get Out.
Yeah. How great was that?
Are you kidding? Did you see his tweet?
Yes.
I just won an Oscar. WTF. Yes. Amazing. Best Supporting Actress, Allison Janney for I, Tonya, and Best Supporting Actor, Sam Rockwell for Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri. Those are your big awards right there.
I wish Allison Janney had walked away from the microphone after she got up and said, I did it all by myself.
Yeah, me too. Right? That was hilarious.
And then she would have won the jet ski.
Oh, how about Helen Mirren, though? On the jet ski.
That's hilarious.
Amazing. That woman is down for whatever, and I appreciate that about her.
DTF, right?
I don't... All right.
Okay.
Some birthdays for you. Eva Mendes and magician Penn Jillette, and that's what's happening.
This hour, we're going to give you a chance to win a pair of tickets to Kevin Amin's April Foolishness.
And by the way, let me just say, I haven't gotten the update since Saturday, but we came very close to selling the thing out in the first 24 hours.
Yeah, it was pretty great.
Amazing. Nice. Thank you to the Kevin and Bean listeners who went to AXS.com, and there may be still some tickets available if you want to go to join us May 31st at the Microsoft Theater. But that's unbelievable how fast this thing is selling. It's a great night of comedy. As Kevin mentioned, we are going to give away another pair of tickets in about 20 minutes or so. What are we going to be looking for, Kevin?
We are looking for blonde jokes. So if you have a blonde joke, or you can find one in Highlights Magazine, whatever, give us a call in about a half hour. We'll tell you when to call, and then you can win those tickets.
We will open up the phones in about 5 minutes or so for your blonde jokes to win tickets for Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness at the end of the month. First on Monday morning. I think you know what that means. We go right to the newsroom at TMZ.com, catch up with our good friend Harvey Levin. Hey, Harvey, how are you, man?
Nope. How are you guys?
That's on me. Sorry, Harvey.
Kevin with the button.
I just have had it.
You've had it?
What's wrong?
With Kevin?
Here's the thing. This is going to be serious, okay?
Okay.
Okay.
You know, the Me Too movement is not only great, but essential. Because there are a lot of problems, not just in Hollywood, but everywhere. That said, there is this kind of rush to judgment on pretty much everything that comes out that makes the Rolling Stone lacrosse article look like a Peabody Award. And B, the hypocrisy is unbelievable. Did you guys watch?
Oh, sure.
Did, yeah.
Yeah. I think I know where you're heading with this. It's curious.
What was your reaction to Kobe winning, where people were standing up and applauding, giving him a standing ovation, going crazy for him?
I said earlier in the show that nothing is like the hypocrisy of progressive Hollywood. Nothing.
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. And remember, Kobe, and look, and I'm not trying to dump on Kobe, but I'm looking at this just in terms of some consistency that you have a guy who was arrested for rape, charged with rape, tried criminally for rape. The case falls apart because the woman refuses to cooperate with prosecutors, and then he allegedly settles for $5 million, although he says, I never paid her anything. Mm-hmm. So you juxtapose that with Ryan Seacrest, who was not charged with anything, who was not sued for anything, who was cleared by E, mm-hmm. and he is shunned on the red carpet by a lot of people. Now, that said, we reported over a month ago, and none of the media picked it up, but I am telling you, this is fact. Here's the facts. Number one, this woman had hired a lawyer. And the lawyer went to Ryan Seacrest and his lawyer and said, here is a press release, and I will tear this press release up if you give us $15 million.
So straight blackmail.
Now, the lawyer says, the lawyer acknowledged the press release but denies it was 15. The amount, he says, was wrong. Now, what the people on Seacrest's side say is that they told him to pound sand, and he came back and he offered seven figures. And they said no, and then they went out. So you juxtapose Seacrest with Kobe, and you look at, say, James Franco, again, not arrested, not charged, not tried, not sued, and James Franco is exiled. So where is the consistency in Hollywood?
There is none. There's absolutely, it's completely random. I mean,
and we got celebrities out. Go to our website. Look at the top story on our website. We got celebrities out, and we asked them about it. And they, we didn't remember the Kobe thing. Really?
Yeah, we were talking about that right before we went to you on the phone. Kevin brought up that Colin Hanks was mentioned in your article. I mean, he's a huge sports fan. How does he not know about Kobe Bryant? That only happened. How does anybody
know
not know about
that
case? Especially people who live in Los Angeles, right?
They're lying, you guys.
Do you think so?
Absolutely.
Do you think Colin Hanks would? I don't.
I feel like they just don't want to talk about it. So if you say you have no idea, you feign this ignorance.
Yeah,
you're
but
not
Ellie,
gonna...
I think it even goes deeper than that. You know what it is? Everybody loves a winner, and Kobe is one of the best basketball players in the history of basketball.
Sure.
And you know, this is largely a significantly a Los Angeles audience, and I think that had some impact.
It makes sense, too.
Yeah.
I think so, too. I mean, you're right. There is no consistency. I mean, we totally take your point. I mean, look
and,
at...
And let me just one other point.
Okay.
That beyond consistency, at a point, you know, these allegations, it's really hard to unscramble an egg. Mm-hmm. And when everybody just jumps on an allegation without... You know, the woman from Scandal, I forgot her name.
Bellamy Young.
Yeah. You know, she came out, she's asked something in the red carpet. She knows nothing about the Ryan Seacrest case. And she says, well, I think we should avoid him, that everybody should be beyond reproach. And then she had to take it back because she didn't know what she was talking about. Mm-hmm. And this is not, I'm not trying to defend Ryan Seacrest. What I'm saying is, Jesus, I mean, at a point, you know, just because somebody makes an allegation, you can't assume it's true and kill the person against whom the allegation is made.
And
you know,
you've
got to look at the facts.
We've talked to you about that before. That's come up in so many stories in recent years, Harvey, that it's a tough balancing act because you're programmed to, understandably, believe the accuser. You want to give the accuser the benefit of the doubt. And that does run up against sometimes that
and
it may
when,
not
and,
be
and
true.
Look, guys, when you get like a Harvey Weinstein or a Kevin Spacey where there are multiple, you know, allegations that seem consistent, you know, that's one thing.
Yeah.
But, gee, we're talking about one allegation.
Right.
And, well,
look,
and we can't
saying,
say
and,
that
and by
just
the way,
one
I'm not
allegation.
Saying she's lying. I'm not saying she's lying or telling the truth, but what I'm saying is you can't just jump to conclusions and then kill somebody.
Okay, but let's make it very clear that one allegation can be very, very true. We can't just – yes, there's strength in numbers, obviously, because people tend to believe you more when there's 10 other people behind you. But that's not saying that one allegation can't be true.
No, no, no. You're right. What I'm saying is I'm not saying that the allegation isn't true. I'm saying that people who receive that information – I mean, you look at the media right now. They're just, you know, somebody makes an allegation on Facebook, boom, it goes up on,
yeah.
you know, every website.
Yeah,
it
sure.
shows up
no,
on television.
No, we need
television.
To be very careful.
And
right
it's
now.
Like, okay, did anybody do any research to know or to find out? I mean, I thought that was what the Duke lacrosse case taught everybody, but it's the opposite. They're doing worse now.
And I'm sure that's...
And by the way, by me and us saying anything like this, it's almost considered heresy because nobody's supposed to say anything like this.
What is your burden of proof to report stories like these, Harvey? I imagine that there must be stories that you struggle with that we never even hear about.
Of course. Of course. And there's, and you know what? You got to look at everything kind of on its face, and there are always extenuating circumstances. It's hard. And I'm not saying, look, I'm not trying to be sanctimonious here. I'm just saying basic fairness and consistency is kind of the foundation.
Yeah. Well, you made some great points. Hey, before we let you go, did you enjoy the Academy Awards last night?
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was okay. I thought it was decent. What did you guys think?
Pretty long. Pretty dull.
I mean, it had some highlights. I thought Jimmy was great,
love
as
Jimmy,
always.
Jimmy
was
great. Jimmy Kimmel was great. Okay. Jimmy
yeah.
Kimmel was great.
He was great. It's just, it's a really long, boring show is what it is.
Yeah.
And I'm glad we're out of the award season, that's for sure.
Yeah, Harvey, that's kind of why I'm too.
Thank you for speaking so passionately on this topic, and we enjoyed the conversation very much. TMZ throughout the day on Fox Channel 11. Of course, TMZ Live at 4, same channel, Channel 11, TMZ Sports Monday through Friday at midnight on Fox Sports 1. Have yourself a great week, my friend.
You too. See you guys.
Okay.
All right. We have tickets for April Foolishness. We're going to give them away right now.
Yes, we are. Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness is March 31st at the Microsoft Theater. It's a fantastic evening of comedy. Thanks again to everybody who bought the tickets. There are still some available at AXS.com, but you can win them right now with your favorite blonde joke. If you've got a blonde joke, you know what those are, right? 1-800-520-1067. We'll take your calls next on K-Rock. Fluffy will be there, as will Adam Devine, Brad Williams, Brian Callen, Doug Benson, Jeff Garland, Sarah Tiara. Music and video from DJ Mike Realm, and you will be there too. If you win right now, Kevin Bean's 10th Annual April Foolishness, 1-800-520-1067. It's time for the blonde leading the blonde.
Allie is so blonde. Win takes two April Foolishness. Allie is so blonde, 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 blonde. This is the blonde, blonde, leading the blonde. Dumb. Tell us your joke about blonde, 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 blonde. Cisco forever.
Is that our slogan here? Cisco forever?
Omar.
A lot.
All right. Blonde jokes now, 1-800-520-1067. Like we've been doing all week, last week. If we don't have a favor, we do a drawing, right?
Yep.
Sure.
Okay. Who's up first, please?
Let's start with Manny from Montebello. Hi, Manny.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good morning. We're good? You have a blonde joke?
I do.
Let's hear it.
What do you give a blonde who has everything?
I give up.
Penicillin.
Tell us your joke about blonde, 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 blondes.
All right. I support it and so true. Thank you, Manny. Please hold on.
Let's go to Ryan in Rancho Cucamonga. Hi, Ryan.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, thank you. You got a blonde joke?
Yeah. All right. Okay, so a redhead tells her blonde stepsister, I slept with a Brazilian. The blonde replies, oh my God, you slut. How many is a Brazilian?
Tell us your joke about blonde, 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 blonde.
How many is a Brazilian?
Because like,
he does, like, he thinks that's a number, like a gazillion.
That is funny.
It's funny like that Allie didn't get it. I got to be honest.
By the way, no one really knows what Allie's hair color actually is, though. Come on.
Marcel in Glendale, hi.
What's up? Top of the morning.
Good morning. What do you got for us in a blonde joke?
All right. How do you get a blonde on top of the roof?
How do you get a blonde on top of the roof?
Yeah. You call her drinks around the house.
Tell us your joke about blonde, 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 blondes.
I am told line four's pronunciation is Thu.
Thu.
Yes.
From Westminster.
Good morning.
Good morning. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. You got a blonde joke?
Why does the blonde tiptoe next to a medicine cabinet?
I can't imagine.
Because she didn't want to wake up the sleeping pills.
Tell us your joke about blonde, 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 blondes.
I don't hate it.
All right. Let's go to Caesar in Wilmington. Hi there.
Hi. Why do blondes wear their hair up?
Why do blondes wear their hair up? What?
To catch anything that goes over their head.
Get off my phone.
Tell us your joke about blonde, blonde, blonde.
I'm assuming by your response that he's not our favorite.
Not so far.
All right.
Hey, is the theme here that blondes are not smart? Is that the takeaway?
I mean,
I think so.
I think that's pretty obvious.
Okay.
Okay. Raul in Palmdale. Hi.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Doing blind jokes. What do you got?
What are three things every good blonde joke needs?
Ooh, oh, intriguing. I like it. I don't know.
A sickle, a neighbor, and a lesbian.
Tell us your joke about blonde, 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 blondes.
See, because we have a blonde guy on the show.
What?
Who told a story very similar to that once upon a time.
So
very clever.
Sort of like that one, yeah.
Very clever, Raul.
Sarah in Glendale, hi.
Hi. All right, I got a little bit of a longer one, but I'll say it a little fast.
Okay.
All right.
We got nine blondes and one brunette are hanging from a single rope from the top of the Empire State Building.
Okay.
They decide that one girl needs to let go in order for the rest to survive. The brunette volunteers, and all the blondes applaud for her.
Oh.
I don't hate it. All right.
Good delivery, too. We got time for one more.
Let's make it Manuel in Los Angeles. Hi.
How you doing? What does the blonde say when she finds out she's pregnant?
What does the blonde say? I don't know.
I hope it's mine.
Tell us your joke about blonde, 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 blondes.
Sort of like that one, too.
The comedy will be much better on March 31st at the Microsoft Theater than
these. Well,
they're
professionals, of course.
Right. This is not representative of the evening of comedy that we're putting together. All right. Do we have a favorite, or do we do a drawing, you guys? Allie?
I think there were a few really good ones. I like the sleeping pills one. Mm-hmm. I like the one where Kevin was part of the joke.
Mm-hmm.
Really
like
that, one.
Yeah.
I like the blondes hanging from the rope.
Yeah. All right.
I liked all of them.
Let's do a drawing.
All right. It's definitely a good batch. All right. Only one will win tickets to join us March 31st at the Microsoft Theater. By the way, a few seats left. If you want to go to AXS.com and buy your tickets, proceeds this year benefiting the Intrepid Follows Fallen Heroes Fund and Cedars-Sinai NICU. Who wins a pair of tickets right now, though?
It was the last one we heard. It's Manuel.
Manuel.
Yeah. Yes.
Congratulations.
Oh, thank you very much. I'm doing this for my son.
Oh, fantastic. Well, thanks for playing the game. We appreciate it.
Blum, 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 blondes.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 6:54.
Got a lot of stuff going on this morning's Monday Kevin and Bean Show, including Robert Kirkman, co-creator of The Walking Dead, and so much more, joining us in studio in the 8 o'clock hour. Plus, you guys, it happened on Friday. We have a billboard.
Yay!
We got one single.
We have one.
Beautiful.
Gorgeous.
Billboard.
I did see photos of it over the weekend, but I'm not going to believe it until I hear it from somebody on the show. So we sent Beer Mug down there in the janky Kevin and Bean van to check it out, make sure that it's real, and make sure that it's still there, and make sure Kevin hasn't tagged it yet. So we'll check it with Mugs.
I should tag it with 100.3 The Sound.
First, though, at 6:54, Allie, what's happening?
Well, over the weekend, Dave Grohl shared a clip on Twitter, at Foo Fighters, saying, woodshedding for the summer tour has never felt so good. See you out there. And then said, I'll learn the words by then, I swear. And the video that he posted is a mashup that I never saw coming. See if you can figure it out.
Can't you see I'm on the fear and I'm back against a broken machine?
That's awesome.
A little Imagine by John Lennon mixed in with some Van Halen Jump.
That's awesome.
Right? It's just bizarre.
Why are the Foos the best?
They pretty much are, right? So good. So good at so much. Not sure if you saw this. The final run of the Warped Tour has been revealed. The 2018 edition will be the last one, but there are words that they're going to come back next year for the big 25th anniversary with a big blowout in 2019. But this lineup for the year includes All Time Low, Simple Plan, Sum 41, Taking Back Sunday, and The Used. But they're not playing at all the shows. So you have to go to which individual city you want and check out their lineup. I looked at ours. It is Thursday, June 21st at the Pomona Fairplex. You've got The Used. You've got Simple Plan, Real Big Fish. And on another stage, you've got a band called D's Nuts.
All right.
So, I mean, well done. Well done. I'm not sure if you heard about this, but Keanu Reeves is reportedly in talks to star in a new superhero movie for Netflix. Deadline reports that it's called Past Midnight, and it's a feature about a new kind of vigilante superhero.
Okay.
All right. I don't know. I'm in.
Netflix won its first feature film Oscar last night, you guys.
Did they? For what?
That Icarus documentary.
Oh, right.
Was Netflix, yeah. They're players.
They are players indeed.
Play us, I'd go so far as to say.
I wouldn't.
Okay.
All right. Razzies came out as well. Sure, the Oscars, we all know about that. But the Razzies, pretty much for the worst awards, the Golden Raspberry Awards. Worst Picture, The Emoji Movie. Worst Actor, Tom Cruise, The Mummy. Worst Actress, Tyler Perry in Boo 2, A Madea Halloween. I mean, that's just rude, right? Rude, rude, rude. However, a Razzie for a movie so rotten you loved it.
Okay.
Was Baywatch. Which is interesting. Kevin, you loved it, right?
I loved it. Yeah, it's not great movie making, but it had a lot of funny moments in it. Yeah.
Well, here's just another reason why The Rock is better than everyone.
The movie was so bad they actually had to create a category. The new category is a movie so rotten you eventually fell in love with it. I'm not kidding. Which means the sandwich you have been eating is so bad that you eventually started to like it. Look, made Baywatch with the best of intentions. It didn't work out like that, but I humbly and graciously accept my Razzie, and I thank you, critics, thank you, fans, and look, at the end of the day, movie so rotten you eventually fell in love with it. That's just the way love goes. All right, go Baywatch. Thank you for my Razzie.
How great is he?
I love that.
By the way, he started out the video just saying congratulations to everyone going to the Oscars. I hope it all goes well for you, but I won something already. And then launches into this. It's like, my gosh, anyone that can be that self-deprecating.
Agreed.
Ugh. I love it. I love it so much.
He's the highest paid movie star in the world, too, by the way. If a movie doesn't work, it doesn't matter to him, I would imagine.
Yeah, true.
But it's his art, Bean.
Right, it is his art. Baywatch is his art, right.
Did you see Baywatch?
I didn't.
I'm probably the only one that saw that one in this show.
Yeah, it's true. And the movie Single Parents, that casting is shaping up. TV Line reports Saturday Night Live's Taryn Killam, Gossip Girl's Leighton Meester, and friend of the show Brad Garrett will star in the film. It's about a group of dysfunctional single parents who lean on each other in an attempt to raise kids, look for love, and they ultimately realize that survival is only possible with the help of each other. I like it, you guys.
Right.
I like Taryn Killam.
I do too.
I like Leighton Meester.
Do too.
We love Brad Garrett.
Love.
In.
Agreed.
All right. Moving on, some birthdays for you. Eva Mendez and magician Penn Jillette, and that's what's happening.
Hey, don't forget, we're going to send you to Sydney, Australia to see Imagine Dragons. That is destination number 3 of the K-Rock Wheels Up 2018. You qualify by winning tickets to see them at the Forum. We have a chance for you at 9 a.m. this morning here on K-Rock. Make plans to be here for that. Then again at noon, 3, and 6 p.m. all week long here on K-Rock. Details at K-Rock.com.
So the Oscars were last night and part of this morning. And I mean, for my money, honestly, Jimmy was most of what was interesting.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I think he did a fantastic job. Look, you're threading a needle up there. Everybody projects on you what they want from their Oscars. And he brought comedy, but he also brought social commentary. And he, you know, also was an outstanding host. He kept it moving. He did have
three costume changes, which did crack me up.
Me too. I think he's one of the best Oscar hosts we've ever had. I really do, genuinely. And I don't think I'm being blinded by the fact that we're friends with the dude. I think he is outstanding for that job.
Remember last year when they got the best picture confused? Mm-hmm. He did mention that.
I do want to mention, this year when you hear your name called, don't get up right away. Just give us a minute.
We don't want another thing.
I thought that was a funny way to handle that. He did tell us on our show on Friday that he had figured out a way to shorten the speeches, the acceptance speeches, mm-hmm. which is the part that for some people, which is so just hard to tolerate because you don't know any of the people they're thanking. And it's
yeah,
just
it's
sort
like
of
2 minutes of reading names of people.
I mean, look, do they deserve to be thanked? Yes.
I mean, I understand why your, you know, hair and makeup person contributed to your success, but I don't need to sit there and listen to his or her name.
So he did dangle a carrot in front of everybody just to make sure that they kept him short.
This is a really long show. So here's what we're going to do. Whoever gives the shortest speech tonight will go home with... Johnny, tell them what they'll win.
It's a brand new jet ski! Cruising comfort in the 2018 Kawasaki Ultra 310 LX, the number one choice for watercraft enthusiasts. Retail price, $17,999. Back to you, Jimmy.
Thank you, Helen. Thank you. Helen Mirren not included.
She was the hand model, which was
amazing.
Which was amazing. By the way, when he said Johnny, I was thinking of the old The Price is Right announcer, Johnny Olson, but he's dead, right? That's not the real Johnny, is it? Does anyone know?
I don't think so, but I think that's who he was referring
that's
to.
That's who he said. That's who they made him sound like.
I think
yeah.
so, yeah.
Very funny.
So at one point, you know how you try to do like a big stunt one time per show? Mm-hmm. This was his big stunt.
We wanted to say thank you to the moviegoers. Say thank you to the moviegoers, everybody. And we have a surprise for you as well. I notice you don't have any snacks. And
all right, I should set this up. I thought the setup was on it. There were people right across the street from the Oscars who were sitting there watching a screening of A Wrinkle in Time. And they literally gathered some huge stars and went across the street and handed out candy to all of the people. Interrupted their movie, but then walked in front and put them on the Oscars.
The lights go up, the movie goes down, and all of a sudden, there's Guillermo del Toro walking in with a sub. Army Hammer with a hot dog cannon.
Which I need.
That's a thing.
I need a hot dog. It was a thing. It shot hot dogs. It was the best.
Especially considering the smell in this theater. Look at this. Ansel Elgort is here. Now, who would like a hot dog? Does anyone want a hot dog? All right. Let's fight. Do not aim the hot dogs at the vegetarians. Oh, there you go. So go ahead, fire that thing into the crowd.
All right, stop it for 1 second. I love that Jimmy is brave enough to do a thing like this live with a billion people around the world watching. And Jimmy always likes being on the edge and not knowing what's going to happen
yeah,
next.
Yeah, true.
I appreciate that. But listen to the chaos that is going on behind him as he's trying to talk. People are freaking out. They're sitting there watching a movie screening, and Wonder Woman walks in, and they just cannot control themselves. And he almost lost complete control of that bit. When he was trying to get out of it, nobody was listening to him. It was pretty chaotic.
We've got a hot dog cannon. We've got a mustard cannon coming, too. Oh, this is better than Halloween.
By the way, mustard cannon I didn't see, and I was really looking for it.
Yeah, you wanted that.
Yep.
I will say this. Was it Ansel that was in charge of the hot dog cannon?
Armie Hammer and Ansel, I think they both had one.
Yeah, I feel like they needed to aim it up so the hot dogs come down. They were literally shooting wieners at people's faces, and I was like, someone's going to get hurt.
It reminded you so much of college.
It was terrifying,
That's
really.
So much better. It's so much better that they did it that way.
Bean, we heard it.
Yeah, we heard it. Jimmy did have time to make fun of Barbara Streisand. We were talking about the fact that she cloned her dog twice. We were talking about that on Friday, and he referenced that on the Oscars.
I also want to send best wishes to Barbara Streisand. She's fine. Barbara's fine, but she just went through something very serious. I don't know if you heard she had her dog cloned. And she had her dog that passed away cloned, and now she has two dogs that are identical to the original dog, which is a very difficult and expensive process. It's difficult because, you know, first they have to find a dog that looks just like your dog, and then they have to tell you they cloned your dog.
And you know Barbara Streisand's at home watching.
Yeah, exactly.
Hating that.
There was one speech that I loved, and it was Frances McDormand.
Mm-hmm.
Because she's straight crazy.
Well, she's been kind of ramping up for this. I don't know how much you've been following her acceptance of speeches, because she's won a lot of awards for this role in Three Billboards. But she at the SAG Awards and she at the Golden Globes, every time she gets up, she's like, I got something to say. And then she just lays it down for us. And she was on fire last night.
If I may be so honored
to have all the female nominees in every category stand with me in this room tonight. The actors. Meryl, if you do it, everybody else will. Come on. Ms. Boyne.
I mean, come on now. For my money, that laugh is the best laugh in showbiz.
Well, she'll never be elected president now.
Okay, look around, everybody. Look around, ladies and gentlemen, because we all have stories to tell and projects we need financed. Don't talk to us about it at the parties tonight. Invite us into your office in a couple days, or you can come to ours, whichever suits you best, and we'll tell you all about them. I have two words to leave with you tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Inclusion Rider.
That's your little brother, Kevin, or...
No, it isn't. But then when Jordan Peele won Best Director, that was awesome, too.
Yeah.
Was he Best Director? Best
Screenplay.
Best screenplay. Original screenplay, yeah.
Yeah, I was so happy to see him win as well. But that's pretty much the highlights of that show.
I thought two of the musical arrangements were wonderful for
Thank
the best
you for
song.
Bringing that up, Allie.
Yeah, I thought that the song from Greatest Showman was...
She got a standing ovation for that. This Is Me, yeah.
It was moving and beautiful.
But no beard.
No beard.
So what's up with that?
Well, I don't think she wanted to wear a beard to the Oscars.
Okay, all right.
And then the other one by Common and...
oh, yeah, that was good, too.
Oh,
Audra Day.
Audra Day, thank you. I thought that was phenomenal. I agree with them, but I was completely wowed.
I'm going to see your two and add Sufjan Stevens as well with St. Vincent. I thought that was a fantastic performance.
I was crying too much.
Call Me By Your Name. I love his voice, by the way. I people always say you could listen to somebody, you know, read or sing the phone book. That's how I am with Sufjan Stevens. I love his voice. And
pretty,
it was so awesome to see him.
Pretty quiet. Pretty down.
Well, I mean, he's not a big rock singer.
Wasn't really a...
He's a mellower singer.
Took a nap.
It was a great song.
I got a bit of shut eye, and I was happy about it.
It was a great song.
We have a billboard.
A billboard.
One, we have a billboard.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have billboards, but we have a billboard.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have a billboard.
Yay!
It's at the Coliseum on West Martin Luther King Boulevard in between Hooves and Figueroa.
Hooves.
Hoover, I think. Hoover.
Hoover says that right there.
Hooves. Hooves is sick. Let's go with it.
I call it Hooves. it's a listener put on the Kevin Bean social media over the weekend because when they found out it was on MLK Boulevard, and finally, Martin Luther King's legacy is complete. our billboard is on his street. It's very exciting, and I don't know the details behind how we were able to get a billboard. I know it's something we've been complaining about for some time now, and I don't know how long it's going to last. I mean, did we steal this location, Kevin? Is it possible that somebody's going to come in tomorrow and advertise the next movie and it's gone?
I believe it's there until somebody wants it.
Okay.
So if nobody wants it, we're good. If somebody wants it tomorrow, we're looking for another location.
Okay. I want to ask you, Allie, about your friend... Allie Siegel.
Sure.
She drew this picture when she came in on the show a couple of months ago, and we fell in love with it. It's Kevin and B, and it's frankly janky, and we're wearing braces. Mm-hmm. And we fell in love with it and said, if we can do a billboard, this is the picture we want to put up.
Yeah.
How's it been for Allie?
I mean, life-changing, really.
Life-changing.
Yeah, yeah.
She went down there this weekend, right?
Not only did she go down there, her parents picked her up, and they went down there.
Kidding.
So dang cute, like family outing, downtown L.A. Get a picture of you in front of the billboard. But she's done a ton of these commissioned pictures for people for Christmas, and then she's doing them for birthdays. She's got a whole T-shirt collection now. She's
awesome.
Doing all right with this janky celeb with braces art.
Love it.
Yeah.
Well, I love it so much, too. Well, let's find out if the billboard is still there here on this Monday morning. I believe Beer Mug is in location with the janky Kevin and Bean van. Is that right, Muggs?
Yes, and in fact, I am in between Figueroa and Hooves on Martin Luther King Boulevard. And the billboard is here, and it is large and in charge, and it's quite amazing. It's quite the sight.
Now, you know how the president and vice president won't travel together. Should we have the van and the billboard in the same spot? Because we could lose them both.
Oh, it's true.
It's always a dangerous proposition, especially in this neighborhood. But
how dare you, by the way?
But it is cool. We already had we already had somebody come up and give their assessment on it, and they like it. A lot of the a lot of the traffic coming by. I don't know if they could see it too well until they drive right up on it.
I mean, there's a tree in front of a large amount of it.
Yes, there's that.
From certain angles, it's hard to see.
It is hard to see. That's true. Yeah. I just think it's fantastic. I think it's beautiful.
I do too.
Muggs, stick around out there for a few minutes, just in the event that people want to come by and either get a photo taken with the billboard or with the janky Kevin and Bean van, which, by the way, if you haven't been listening for the past couple of weeks, Kevin just went out and hashtag Kevin, KevDog, just went out there and straight up spray painted the Sound 100.3 van because that radio station doesn't exist anymore. So now it's just this graffitied vehicle driving all over town, and it's beautiful, and the billboard is beautiful. And if people want to come by and see you, will you hang out there for a few minutes?
Yeah, absolutely. We'll be hanging out. You'll see my ugly fat self standing on the side of the road.
All right.
And,
Is there anything nearby, by the way? Is there a Starbucks or a 7-Eleven or anything like that?
Yeah, there's a McDonald's and a Chevron Extra Mile, and it's been really tempting for me not to go in there.
Oh, like you haven't.
Yeah, well.
All right, so check out the billboard and the van with beer mug for a little while at West MLK between Hoover and Figueroa. It's near Lot 6 of the Coliseum. Great job, Muggs. We'll check in with you again later and see how it's doing.
All right, talk to you soon.
All right, okay, thank you, Muggs.
Bye-bye. We have a billboard. By the way, real quick, because I know we have a thing we have to talk about here. You check in with your boys, either David King Mexico or Beer Mug over the weekend, Michael, about their diet?
I checked in with both.
Oh? Mm-hmm.
And,
are they taking it seriously? Are they losing weight?
Dave seems to be taking it serious, more serious than I would have thought. Hmm. His eating is on point, seemingly
really?
On point.
Okay.
He did have two vodka tonics.
Well,
you know, but I said two isn't a big deal. I said, why not switch to vodka soda, though?
Yeah,
take out the sugar of the tonic.
The sugar.
So, that's why he gets the tonic, though.
Yeah, little bit of tweaks here and there, I think, are going to make a big difference for Dave. Muggs was tweeting pictures of, like, chili burgers.
I can't wait a bit.
Like he does.
But he was also super sick with the flu, which I think is
a
nice little cheat code.
Sure.
You know?
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, we'll get back later in the week. We'll check in more on March Fatness and see how those guys are doing. All right. Kevin, we have been dying all day long to hear about what happened to you on Friday.
Friday, I was taking an Uber.
How come?
It's going to a doctor's appointment.
Okay.
So I called the Uber.
Couldn't drive home because of medication.
Right. Called the Uber. It's an SUV.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't quite ready yet, but when I went out, I saw the SUV. It was parked sort of at a weird angle. I was like, why would somebody park like that? But I guess he's waiting for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I opened the back door, and I said, are you an Uber? And a girl just looked at me, didn't react in any way. So I thought, I mean, I guess that's a yes. So I started to step in the back of her car, and she screamed,
oh no,
bloody murder,
oh no,
and stomped on the gas. And I felt so terrible. I was like, I just want to tell you, I thought you were my, and I couldn't say anything because she peeled out and left.
Were you in the car when she peeled out?
No, I was just starting to put my right foot in, and then I took my right foot out.
Was the back door?
Then I put my right foot in and I shook it all up.
Nice.
Was the back door open when she took off?
Ooh.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Did she think you were trying to carjack her from the back seat?
That's all I can guess. I mean, I really felt terrible because she was terrified.
Yeah.
She was terrified. And I didn't get a chance to say, look, I'm not terrifying. I thought you were an Uber.
Yeah, and but usually guys that say, I'm not terrifying. Yeah.
I didn't even get a chance to say that because she was gone.
Do you think she didn't speak English? Because are you an Uber? You know what I'm saying? I definitely feel an explanation.
The,
yeah.
I don't know. She didn't say anything, so I don't know. All I know is, man, oh, man, did I scare the crap out of her. And I felt like hell.
Aww.
It was the worst.
Yeah.
I just wanted to, like, wave her down and go, look, you're good. It's all...
You should have chased after her.
Yeah.
And waved a gun.
That's a terrifying... I mean, it really is a terrible feeling when you're a bad guy, not on purpose.
Right.
When you know?
Hey, welcome to my life, by the way.
Oh, Dean,
welcome to my life.
Please.
Can I tell you how many completely innocent things have come out of my mouth that all of a sudden somebody decides is creepy?
I mean, some of that's in the delivery. That's all I'm saying. So what we're going to do is we're going to take calls. You accidentally terrified someone. Mike?
Oh, my goodness. So radio legend, rock and roll legend Rodney Bingenheimer worked here at K-Rock for God knows how long. And when I first started at K-Rock, and I mean my first couple weeks, it was Coachella, and I was the only sober person for a 100-mile radius. So the promotions director trusted me to drive the van home after Sunday night's Coachella. By the time we got back here to the station, it was already like maybe 2 in the morning. And just the weekend prior, there was a big problem with homeless people breaking into the parking lot and stealing stuff out of people's vehicles and even stealing vehicles.
Right.
Trying to. I pulled in, and I did not know what Rodney looks like. And if you don't know what Rodney looks like, it is a bit shocking.
Yes, it is. I don't know that I would jump to that's a guy breaking in, though.
Well,
because that guy's not breaking into anything.
But he is pushing a shopping cart full of his records that he's going to play.
Oh.
So I think to myself, oh, my gosh, I just caught a guy in the act, a homeless man in the act of breaking into our parking lot.
Red-handed, Mike.
So I throw the vehicle in park, and it's like, because like I didn't even slow it down. I just throw it in park, and I run out, and I'm like, hey, hey! And he's a very slight man.
Yeah.
And I pushed him just a little bit, and he flies up against the gate.
Oh, no.
Touch me, I'm going to scream.
I go, what are you doing? And I kick over his shopping cart.
No.
I was like, get out of here. Get out.
You are killing me.
So in the middle of this, maybe 5 seconds, 5 second interaction, another guy who's been working at K-Rock a long time wakes up out of his drunken stupor and gets out of the car and goes, what are you doing? Dude, stop. I go, what? This guy's trying to break into K-Rock, man. I'm going to. It's like, it's Rodney.
I was like, he works here.
Oh, my God. Really?
Oh,
so I just ran away.
No.
You ran away.
Yeah.
You didn't even apologize.
You didn't say you're sorry?
I was so panicked. I don't know what to do.
Super sad.
And so I drive home and I think to myself, I've lost my job. There goes my job. I'm done.
Oh.
And I never heard anything about it. The last second.
I'm sad.
And I feel like there's a statute of limitations on being a giant dick. So I don't feel that bad telling the story on the air because that was 15 years ago or something.
You
so you're brand apologize. New. You're brand new at K-Rock, and you practically assault a K-Rock legend.
Practically,
yeah.
Because I'm awesome.
That's what happened, and I felt so bad. I felt horrible. I terrorized Rodney.
Did you ever run into him again?
Oh, I used to do Loveline and see him every week.
And you never said, sorry about that, dude.
I just, well, I had
Did
a shaved
he avoid
head.
You in the hallway?
I had a
stuff?
Shaved head at the time. And then by the time Loveline came around, which was, you know, a decade later, I looked like practically a completely different person.
Oh, so
I
just, man.
Do you think he remembers?
Oh, he remembers
sure.
that. Are you kidding? How many people have thrown him against a fence?
But he never really, he was always cool with me. In fact, he would always, he was the guy, he's like, you're the guy from Kevin and Bean that I can trust.
Oh, no.
Yeah. At that point, did you say, no, I'm not.
Separate, I almost kicked your ass.
Thank God.
That's rock and roll. What can I say?
All right, Mike. Thank you for that. Did you terrify someone accidentally like Mike did with Rodney or like Kevin did with that poor lady who wasn't driving an Uber on Friday? 1-800-520-1067. We'll take your calls next on K-Rock.
Just ahead of AFI, let's take one phone call and let's make it Jacob, who's calling from Monrovia. Hi, Jacob.
Hey, how you guys doing?
We're doing well, thank you. You accidentally terrified someone.
Yeah, so this was back when I was in high school and I was taking an art class. There was this cute little girl that I liked in my class, and I liked messing around with her every now and then. And so one day I came up from behind her, and then I just whispered into her like a really quiet boo. And she screamed like insanely loud in the class, and everybody just looked towards me. And I felt so bad because I, like, legitimately terrified her, and nobody said anything, and that just adds to my guilt, and it was really bad.
So everybody just saw you, and they thought you were terrorizing her.
I'm going to say this doesn't qualify. You walked up behind somebody and said, boo. You were trying to scare that person.
But I would say
I meant it, like, innocently. Like,
yeah, I would say he was 5% trying to scare her and 95% trying to flirt with her.
Yeah, that's more accurate.
Man.
Oh, you guys end up getting married or what?
No.
All right, thanks for the call. 1-800-520-1067. Your call's next on Kevin and Bean on...
Matt Bellany, executive editor of The Hollywood Reporter, joins us later to continue our Oscar coverage. Also, Robert Kirkman is going to be in talking about Walking Dead and his new book that he has coming out. And right now we're taking your calls on You Accidentally Terrified Someone. The Pepperoni Playboy, frequent contributor of the Kevin Bean Twitter account, at Kevin Bean, says, I was coming out of the grocery store and trying to get into my car, but my key wasn't working. I tried and tried while jiggling the door handle and nothing. And then I realized there were children in the car, and it wasn't my car. Which I'm sure was very terrifying for the youngsters in the back seat, right?
I don't want to incriminate myself, but I've done that several times.
Have you really now? All right, we're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we go to line three, please? Let's talk to Adrian. Santa Ana, up next on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, Adrian.
Hey, what's up, Kevin and Bean? How are you doing?
We are doing well. You accidentally terrified someone.
I went to Downtown Disney to go to the movies with my brother, actually like a bunch of family members, but I was waiting on my brother and his girlfriend, and I saw them coming from the parking lot behind security. Mm. So I went and hid behind a pillar like or something just to like jump out and scare them.
Right.
So when we were close, I jump out. I go, bitches, why are you late? And I heard the most terrifying scream, and it was a couple from Japan, and she clutched her purse, and the guy fumbled his coffee, and I couldn't apologize.
Oh, no.
Like, as much as I try to apologize, it just kind of seemed worse. And luckily, my brother and his girlfriend were there, and they came over to me. And eventually, they laughed, but I, you know,
poor people
came all the way to the United States to get frightened.
Very funny. Thank you for the call, Adrian. Appreciate you listening. Thank you. Let's go to Ramesh, I want to say, line six. Ramesh is in Manhattan Beach, and he has a story. Let's find out if we believe him or not.
Hey, Ramesh.
This incident. Hi. How are you?
Good.
No, this is very much true. So I'll preface it that I'm from Sri Lanka, right? So I've got naturally brown skin. My father-in-law takes us to his five daughters, my wife being one of them, and their husbands down to Costa Rica to the Four Seasons about 10 years ago for his 60th birthday. And we were down at a dinner party at the beach, and I'm addicted to chapsticks. I forgot my chapstick, so wanted to rush back up to the room to get it. Didn't know until later that I hit 3201 instead of 4201. I walked in what I thought was my room, which was slightly ajar because the deadbolt was left open, which I thought I did. And I walk into a glass shower with a lady butt naked taking a shower. We stare at each other. I scream. She screams so loud. I run out of there. But the worst part was for the next 7 days, I had to walk around the hotel, and they had put out an alert to keep an eye out for a dark-skinned guy in a floral shirt walking around the property as a predator.
I just want to clarify that you screamed first. Is that true?
No, she screamed first, and covered herself, is all I remember. And all in my head is I felt really bad for her because I probably ruined her trip, that there's a stalker, and I probably ruined the guy's trip because, you know, she's going to be freaked out the whole time.
Sure.
And then I had... Yeah, so it was
no chapstick. There was no chapstick in there.
Right? Where's the chapstick?
But I did get my chapstick eventually.
That is a crazy story to accidentally walk into somebody else's room while they're taking a shower.
Done it. All right.
Is there anything you haven't done, Kevin?
Thank you, Ramesh, for the call.
Thank you. That's great. All right. Let's go to Rich in Montebello. He's on line four. I think you guys are going to appreciate the twist in his story.
Hey, Rich.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, thanks. You accidentally scared someone.
Yeah, the person I scared happened to be Bean.
All right.
Oh.
And I don't know if Bean remembers this, but we were it was Weenie Roast, I want to say probably 2 years ago, and I noticed he happened to be sitting behind us, and I guess I got starstruck with Bean, and I jumped over the seat from where I was sitting and had my camera ready and put it right there in front of Bean's face, and he all of a sudden got all scared and was throwing his hands up like, whoa, what are you doing? And I was really sorry, Bean. I just was trying to get a picture with you.
You're lucky he didn't drop you.
he was scared.
These hands are registered lethal weapons. You know that, right, Rich? All right. Thank you for the call. Let's go to Nicholas Anaheim, line two. He had a Kevin-esque experience he wants to tell us about.
Hey, Nicholas.
Hi. So what happened was my mom dropped me off at the grocery store. I went inside and she went to go park. I came out to, after a while, I came out to, and I got into the car.
Right.
The first car I saw, it looked like my mom's.
Right.
I look over after I get in and I look at the lady and her face is pale.
It wasn't
and
your
like,
mom.
Oh, you're not my mom. And I jumped out of the car and my mom was parked two spaces over and she saw the whole thing happen.
Oh, that's funny. She called you an idiot?
She couldn't talk. She was too busy laughing at me.
Well, she should have. All right. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it.
I do have one other story, and this was at a Kings game this past Saturday night.
Oh, no.
Oh, and, yeah, quite the weekend.
Yes, and we and
the Uber thing happened Friday, and this happened Saturday?
And we had just scored, and I was very excited, and I was running out to go to the bathroom. Another guy was running the opposite way, and he got closer than I am to you, Allie, probably 2 feet away, and said, "Kev Dong!"
Oh.
And I very close, very nearly fell to the ground.
Terrified.
Scared the crap out of me. And then he just kept running. He was laughing the whole way. So he did the right thing. Great news coming up just after the top of the hour. And then Robert Kirkman will join us in the 8 o'clock hour as well here on the world famous K-Rock.
If you're anywhere near USC today, by the way, why not stop by and visit the Kevin and Bean billboard? You can meet the van and you can visit the billboard. Get photos of both. Beer Mug is out there with our janky Kevin and Bean van near the Coliseum on West MLK Boulevard between Hoover or Hooves, as some people call it, and Figueroa. He'll be there for the next few minutes if you want to go on by and say hi to the mugs. And also, bring him some Twinkies, bring him some donuts, bring him some pizza, right?
Yeah, I mean, Bean's doing this because he's in a weight loss competition with the King of Mexico.
Yeah, so yes. March Fatness is going on.
That's the right thing to do.
So help him out. All right, 7:52 Monday morning. Allie, what's happening?
I do kind of like it, like Hooves and Fig. That just sounds cool.
Right?
Right?
I was just saying it cool.
I know you were, Kevin.
It wasn't a mistake.
I'm just backing you up.
Thank you.
It's good stuff. We haven't really talked much about the In Memoriam segment of the Oscars last night, where Eddie Vedder performed Tom Petty's Room at the Top, which was beautiful. He did
it. Can I say that that was inspired casting?
Yeah.
To have the appropriate singer singing the appropriate song for that feature.
Yeah, I thought that was great, too.
Completely agree. He did a wonderful job at that. But, of course, you can't include everyone that has passed away in the past year in that segment because there's so many people, cinematographers, designers, actors, so many people that
agents,
have passed.
Studio heads,
yeah,
right.
Yeah, just too many. But people are very, very upset that a few were left out that they feel should have been up there.
Which ones?
I think the number one person that people were really upset about was Glenn Campbell. Which I thought, oh, well, he's a singer, mostly. But Bean said, no, what about True Grit? And what else has he been in, Bean?
I mean, True Grit is his most famous role. That was a real high-profile role for him.
Yeah.
He didn't do a lot of acting. Mm-hmm. He's certainly better known as a singer and as a television performer. But I think, you know, because he was such a big star overall, people expected to see him. But there were several people on the list that I kind of agree should have been in there.
Oh, John Mahoney?
John Mahoney.
Absolutely should have been there. Della Reese? 100% should have been
there.
I wonder
how they choose.
I don't know. And a lot of people really upset that Adam West wasn't included as well.
He was in movies. He's certainly better known as a television actor, but he was in movies.
Yeah.
What and Amy Winehouse?
That was many, many years ago. Okay. Also, John Hillerman, from most people know him as Magnum PI, and David Cassidy wasn't included either. So a lot of people that maybe were expected to be in the In Memoriam or not.
Okay.
So there. Hey, let's figure something out, guys. Okay. Forbes has listed their top five list of wealthiest hip-hop artists. Wealthiest hip-hop artists.
I give you J mother effing Z.
I give you a brand new number one, and that is Jay-Z. Yeah, He beat somebody that has been the consecutive number one for 7 years.
And that has to be Diddy, right?
Well, there you go. P. Diddy at number two. But I will tell you this, Jay-Z, $900 million.
What's he doing different than
he did tour last. He did tour last year.
There's touring, there's champagne, there's cognac, there's Tidal, all of that adds up. Yeah, goodness. But Diddy was number one for 7 consecutive years until now, and he slipped to $825 million. Loser. Who's with me?
Count Smokey Love.
He is not on here, just out of the top five. Yeah.
What about 50 Cent with his fake Bitcoin?
50
riches?
Or 50 isn't even in the top five.
He just claimed bankruptcy, Bean.
Well, no, did he?
Yeah, didn't he?
Did he?
I never heard about that.
That's when it came out that he didn't have Bitcoin. I don't know.
I don't think so. Be real! No, not be real.
Hip-hop stars who make a lot of money is the topic.
Bobo.
Bobo, no. But I like that he came after Be Real.
Matt Damon.
Matt Damon is not a hip-hop artist.
How come we can't think of any that might be 3, 4, or 5?
I'm shocked that you forgot about this guy.
Dr. Dre, of course.
Yes.
Dr. Dre, sure.
See, because you forgot about Dre. Number three at $770 million. And then the fourth place was a tie, so that's the top five, essentially. Right. Two guys coming in tied at fourth.
And that would be DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince.
No.
It's a great guess, though.
No.
Jesus
is not it. Kevin, it's your son.
Eminem. He made that much?
He made $100 million. There's
like
a big drop
anything.
Between number one and number, you know, four and five.
How's he making money?
He's Eminem, I guess. I don't know. Doesn't say.
I mean, he did a handful of shows and he put on an album. Nobody makes any money off of an album anymore. I wonder what he's doing.
Yeah, that's weird.
Oh. And he is tied with who?
Drake.
Yes.
Good guess.
Oh,
well
really?
Done. Yeah, they're both tied at fourth with $100 million each. So Jay-Z sitting pretty with $900 million. And then paltry $100 million for those losers at fourth, right? That's just an insane amount of money, you guys.
It sure is.
It's just nuts. Speaking of nuts, Stone Temple Pilots kicked off their tour, their new tour, in Santa Clarita on Friday night with their new lead singer, who's great, Jeff Gutt. Have you heard him?
I've not.
He's great.
Yes, we played a clip on this show.
Yeah,
he's great.
Chip saw him at one of their shows, their little preview shows, said he was great as well. Well, they were joined by Johnny Depp on stage. They did Sex Type Thing and the MC5 classic Kick Out the Jams. On your first night of your tour as a new lead singer, do you want to be like, and here's Johnny Depp? Don't you want to just enjoy that for yourself? You're a band that's very well established. You have this new singer.
First show.
Mm. Johnny, sit down with your scarves. Right? Just relax a little bit. Maybe join him in Des Moines or somewhere. Give people a real thrill. Am I alone in that?
I mean, no, it makes sense that he would. That's his moment.
Yeah.
That's the lead singer's new moment, you know, but...
Just saying.
I guess if you're a band and Johnny Depp wants to come on, you say yes.
I guess so. By the way, a lot more people are talking about Stone Temple Pilots existing, thanks to Johnny Depp's appearance, than otherwise. You wouldn't be mentioning it if it had just been, hey, STP started a tour with a new singer.
You're probably right, Bean. All right, I take it back. Kudos, Scarfy. Well done. And Fuller House's Jody Sweetin had a really bad scare when she heard footsteps on her roof. Her security detail chased down a hooded man off the roof and off her property at her San Fernando Valley home. They haven't caught the man, but they did take a report on the incident. Police were contacted, everything. But how scary. Someone on your roof.
Yeah, that's scary.
Santa?
I don't believe it was Santa. This was just this past week.
Okay.
Yeah.
Working early?
Yeah, you might have been just kind of like sussing out the joint.
Mm-hmm.
Could be, yeah. You know that there's a Bad Boys spinoff, right, on NBC coming?
No.
Yeah, there is. And the Bad Boys are more bad ladies. And Gabrielle Union was named a while ago, so she's one of the people that's going to be a bad boy, but a bad lady. The other person was just named. Hollywood Reporter says the other star will be Jessica Alba, who will play a detective who's also a working mom and raising two preteen stepchildren with her husband. I like it. Right?
I'm interested to see it.
Yeah.
Sure.
Gabrielle Union and Jessica Alba.
I like her.
Excellent work. I like it. Birthdays for you. Actress Eva Mendez and magician Penn Jillette. And that's what's happening.
Allie McKay came up with one of our best features now. I think people like this the most.
I love it as well.
I do too.
Yeah.
It's called...
You're talking about great news?
Great news.
Yeah. Hey, we're going to get to that in just a second. We got some great news for you. But first, additional great news just in from the Kevin and Bean billboard near parking lot 6 over by the Coliseum. I believe Beer Mug is on location. Hey, Mugs.
Still here, rocking out.
Is it still up?
It is still there. Surprising.
Yes.
I'm surprised nobody's taken it down yet.
Look, it sounded like I was joking, but I wasn't. We kind of stole this billboard because it wasn't being used. And any day now, No, any hour now, somebody can come along and go, well, we bought the billboard. We're gonna put something else up on top of it. So I don't know how long our one Kevin and Bean billboard is going to survive. So that's why we're encouraging people to go by and see it while it's there. And Muggs, I understand, since we made the announcement a few minutes ago, you have had some folks come by.
Yes, indeed I have. Listener Francisco standing here with me right now. Oh. He had to park his work truck. He was in the middle of work, got out of his car to take a picture with the billboard.
He did the right thing.
That's fantastic. Yeah. Can we say hi to him real quick?
Yeah, here he is. Hold on one second.
All right.
Hello?
Francisco.
Hey, what's up, guys?
You're the first listener that we've spoken with who's been to the billboard. Describe it for us.
It looks good, I guess.
That's what we're going for. What do you think of that artistic representation of Kevin and Bean? Do you think it does us justice?
Yes, it's good, but it's missing one thing. You need a red bandana on Kevin and a blue one on Bean.
Yeah, right. Oh, that's what we need.
All right. Yes. You want to make sure you get shot?
All right. So you taking a picture with the billboard while you're down there, Francisco?
Yes, I did.
All right. Be sure to hashtag KB Billboard. If anybody takes their picture down there, we definitely want to see it so we can share it as well. Thank you for stopping by and seeing it, and say hi to. And thanks for saying hi to Muggs, okay?
All right, we'll do that. I'll just Photoshop the two out of the way, that's all.
All right,
guys. Talk to you later.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Let's do some great news.
When you wake up, all you hear is bad news. So bad it makes you want to hit the snooze. Kevin and Bean can make that go away. It's time for great news today.
Great news! As is so often the case, great news, when you start to tell the story, it just sounds bad. It sounds like this is not going to end well. But right. Trust me, this one does turn around. Japan has the second highest suicide rate in the world. Among developed industrialized countries. South Korea is number one, by the way, believe it or not.
Wow.
Japan is number two. The most common method for suicide in Japan, what do you guys think it is?
This really? Is a terrible guessing game.
It's the worst game
Just
ever.
Just tell us what it is.
It is hanging. Unlike in the United States, where it's, of course, firearms. Age 15 to 39 in Japan, suicide is the leading cause of death, claiming more lives than cancer and accidents combined. I tell you all this as a backdrop to say suicide is a big, big problem in Japan, but there is one man who is doing his part to try to make fewer people feel like they can't go on anymore. His name is Yokoya Shige, and I'm certain I'm pronouncing that incorrectly. He is a now-retired former police officer. For 42 years, he worked as a police officer. And one of the things that he had to do often when he was a police officer is retrieve the bodies from people who had jumped off the suicide cliffs near the Sea of Japan. They're called the Tojimbo Cliffs. They go 80 feet high, and they are just jagged cliffs that look out onto the water.
This is the worst great news story ever.
Lots of people committed suicide.
That turnaround.
Comes the turnaround. When he retired, he realized that what those people who so often go and throw themselves off the cliff are looking for is just somebody to talk to, just some sort of a lifeline, just somebody to tell them it's going to be okay, somebody to listen to their problems. And he decided that he was going to be that person. So for 20 years, he has patrolled the cliffs and then hired people so that all the time during the day, he has a staff of 20 people that do nothing but comb the cliffs and look for people who are sitting there and go up and have a conversation with them to try to talk them out of committing suicide if that's why they're there. He has been so successful, by the way, that he has saved more than 600 people from committing suicide over the past 20 years.
That's impressive.
Isn't that unbelievable? This one guy who just decided, hey, these people are at their most vulnerable. That's when they really need a human connection. I am going to be that person. The fact that he started this program, got others to volunteer, and they are so diligent about doing it every single day. They talk to people all the time and talk them out of committing suicide. Over 600 people.
Wow.
I just think that's remarkable. I really do. How many people can claim that they have saved that many lives? He's a good dude. I can't pronounce his name, but he is my great news.
Excellent.
Right?
Do you want me to go?
Sure.
All right, good. I've got a couple different ones just to show you the beauty of children and how when... Nope, Kevin. And how when they reach out, it's just, it comes from such a pure, beautiful place. So a teacher of a sixth grade class posted this online, and he said, "This morning during first period, my kids could tell something was a little off. When they asked why I wasn't acting normal, I explained to them that my wife's father had passed away this weekend, and I was really worried about her. They all said they were sorry. They got started on their work, kind of moved on. But while standing at my door giving hugs and high fives as the class was dismissed to second period, one little girl put something in my hand, and she told me, 'This is for your wife. I know it was real expensive when my daddy died, and I don't really want ice cream today anyway. I wish the world would pay more attention to children.' And she gave him her lunch money with a little note for his wife."
That's sweet.
Just so sweet and beautiful, which brings me to this next story of a teacher in Great Britain who had lost her dog, Charlie. So one of the students in her class, a little boy named Callum, you know how you can write like Charlie down vertically,
right?
C-H, and then you start each sentence with that letter.
Mm-hmm.
So he hands her a note that says, "Mrs. Dunn, sorry if you don't like it, or sorry if it makes you emotional." And this letter says, "To Mrs. Dunn, I'm sorry about your dog. I want to say that your dog was C, cheeky. I bet your dog was really cheeky. H, happy. Bet your dog was happy. Adorable. Bet your dog was super adorable. Relative. I bet your dog was really related to you. L, for lucky. I bet your dog was really lucky to have you. Incredible. I bet your dog was super incredible and energetic." The final letter in Charlie, E, "I bet your dog was always full of energy. But most of all, know your dog was special and your dog's in a better place and is looking over you." Oh, Callum.
That's sweet.
Kids
are stupid.
I don't think that's the takeaway. It's just how lovely if we all reached out to other human beings as pure of heart as kids do all the time. Oh, it's lovely.
Kids! They're a giant waste of time and money.
I don't think that was the takeaway.
My great news story comes out of Jacksonville, Florida, and it starts out poorly like beans.
Good Lord.
But it does turn. At the age of one, this little girl, Delilah, was admitted to the Wolfson Children's Hospital for non-accidental trauma. It was an abuse case.
Oh.
Malnourished and abused. Jess Hamm, a nurse at the hospital, knew instinctively she was in love when she first met Delilah in the pediatric intensive care unit. She said, "My heart was broken. I didn't want to cry. She was just so hurt, but she still held on to my finger." She said, "Oh my gosh, I'm going to take her home." She went through the proper channels with the Florida Department of Children and Families to adopt Delilah. And in the process, she learned that Delilah had a sister named Caroline.
Mm-mm.
Who was also in the hospital with some of the same abuse problems. She adopted both girls.
Oh, my gosh.
Their days are now spent singing songs, seeking out new discoveries through encouragement, consistent meals, unconditional love. They're thriving, and they're developing like children should be developing at that age. And there was a little clip of them singing.
Baby Beluga. How does it go? Baby Beluga.
It's a little pitchy dog, but...
Come on!
That's my great news.
So about, 10 hours into the Academy Awards last night, it occurred to me, hey, Walking Dead is on AMC. It was like a life raft. I was so happy. So I switched over, watched that for an hour, then came back. There was still another 10 hours to go on the Oscars. It was perfect. How about you, Robert Kirkman? Did you watch your own show? Did you turn off the Oscars to watch your own show last night?
I watched neither because I was on Talking Dead last night. I mean, I watched a little bit of Walking Dead in the green room, but then I went home.
I did see that you were on the Talking Dead, and I just wondered, especially on that show when, you know, Chris is going to press you for answers, you're notoriously tight-lipped. You really don't tell anything to anybody, it seems like.
Yeah, part of that is to keep secrets. The other part is that I can't, like, we're working on season 9 right now. I'm writing the comic. It's hard to keep track of what episode has aired and what episode hasn't.
So you're sort of afraid to say anything because you might spoil something without realizing it?
Yeah. Or I also might reveal that I can't keep track of what the heck's going on at any point in time. And so it's better just to go, well, you know, that's a real
big secret there. I would be spoiling something very important before I answer that question.
Half the time, you don't know the answer.
Well, maybe more than half.
Maybe more than half. Okay. Fantastic.
Well, you have so much going on right now. What would you like to start with? Because we have many questions about both of the things. Actually, we have many questions about many of your projects going on. But do you want to start with Walking Dead? Do you want to start with Oblivion Song? Or where would you feel most comfortable?
Gosh, you're going to give me a choice?
Do you have a choice, yeah.
Oblivion Song. Let's get it out of the way.
Oblivion Song.
Great. This is not a get out of the way thing. This sounds fascinating to me. As busy as you are with all of your, how many books are you writing right now?
I don't keep track.
You got the Outcast.
He doesn't know me.
Innocent. You got the Walking Dead.
Like
now
four.
You have time for another one. Like, when did you even have the time to think, hey, what I need is something else to work on? I'm stunned by this.
I don't know. My creativity is a poison that destroys my life. I don't know. I mean, I'm always coming up with ideas, and it's really hard to not work on them. And so I end up working on things behind the scenes and, in the cracks and nooks and crannies of my schedule. And, this is something I've been working on for over 2 years. And so,
is that right?
Yeah. I mean, it takes me, it's a longer gestation period, but I still find time to do more stuff.
I hear that you've already, even before this was announced, this Oblivion Song was announced, you already have several issues already kind of done, right?
Yeah, we're basically already done with the first year of the book. So we're
That's
working
amazing.
On year two now, which
wow.
is exciting.
Before it even comes out, before the street date.
Yeah. We're trying to be responsible. Also because, I'm a deadline nightmare. So if you're not a year ahead, I'm going to start shipping books late, which is not – nobody wants that.
All right, Thursday. Right. Okay. Did we say Thursday? We meant Friday.
Yeah.
All right. Oblivion Song. Kevin, I think you have the trailer, and then we can get into the weeds a little bit with Ms. Kirkman.
A decade ago, 300,000 citizens of Philadelphia were suddenly lost in oblivion. The government made every attempt to recover them. But after many years, they gave up. Nathan Cole won't. He makes daily trips, risking his life to try and rescue those lost, alone, and afraid, living in the apocalyptic hellscape of oblivion.
Why can't it ever just be like birthday parties and ponies with you? Why does it always have to be apocalyptic?
There's happy moments in it.
Are there, though?
Here and there.
You are a genuinely nice, funny person. It is odd that all of your projects seem to be about hellishness.
Well, look, there's a deep, dark blackness inside me somewhere that is... comes out in my work.
I mean, honestly, I've never met you when you weren't super happy and fun and having a great time.
That's because I get it all out. It's very cathartic.
Oh,
you know?
I see.
But,
So Nathan Cole, when he goes back looking for these missing people, mm-hmm. does he, go through some sort of a portal to get into Oblivion? Does he go to another alternate universe? Or how does it work?
Yeah, it's this, Oblivion is the other dimension. He basically has this belt that adjusts the frequency of his molecules from the frequency that exists in our dimension to the frequency that exists in that dimension. And he just kind of disappears in a flash of lightning and shows up in the other dimension.
Did you say a belt or a belt?
Belt. I wish it was a bell. That would have been a better idea. Damn it. Well, I'm going back in time 2 years, and I'm making this thing a bell.
It doesn't come out till Wednesday. You have time
to adjust it.
I don't have a lot of regrets in life, but that's a big one right there.
Allie, you just improved Oblivion Song.
Man, everyone has belts that do things. No one uses a bell.
That's correct.
Damn it. It sounds like I'm joking. I'm not.
So do the people who are left behind, the people who didn't get sucked into the Oblivion, do they know what happened to their friends and neighbors that are gone? Or to them, is it just like the rapture and they were here one day and now they're not?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of them have no idea what happened. They just know that outside of a certain square mile perimeter of everything beyond that point of the city is this alien world. And so from their perspective, everything outside of that area got obliterated and turned into like this crazy monster world.
Well, so they're basically the only survivors in this situation.
Yeah. I mean, I like to say that it's the genre is apocalypse adjacent. You've got these people that live in oblivion that think that the world has ended and they're mm-hmm. fighting for food and, struggling for survival. And then you've got everyone back on Earth that, are trying to help them and, but their everyday lives are fairly normal aside from popping over into another dimension to fight monsters from time to time.
Aside than that.
Yeah. I'm so fascinated with artists who create things out of whole cloth because you have to make every tiny decision yourself. For instance, how did you decide that it was 300,000 people that went into the Oblivion? That seems like an unwieldy number to keep track of, Robert.
I don't know. I just looked up the population of Philadelphia, which I don't remember now, and I was like, that's a good number.
It's really pretty haphazard.
Put a lot of work into that one.
Okay. And really, I got to give it to Lorenzo De Felici, the co-creator of this. He's an Italian superstar drawing this book, and I get to use him as a crutch quite a bit. So there's all these like fantastic monsters and this, you know, crazy, visually interesting world, and I'm just like, I don't know, man, like some spores and mold or something, and you know, like, what if there was like a dog chasing him, but it wasn't a dog, it was like some kind of alien thing, like whatever. And then he creates this amazing thing, and people are like, Robert, you're such a genius, creating this whole world.
How do you come up with the names of your characters? I'm always fascinated with, like, Nathan Cole. Is that one you've had in the chamber for a while, or did you just come to you, or is it a tribute to somebody?
It either comes off the top of my head immediately, or I go through my spam filter, and I try to find names that I haven't used before.
Is that right?
Really?
That's true, yeah.
Producer Dave says that there is a Dave Sanchez among the missing in Philadelphia. He wondered if maybe that he inspired that.
Can
perhaps
that be him?
I'm going to say that was him. Yeah, okay, sure. Good. Yeah, definitely.
Now you're in Mr. Kirkman's book. Right. How about that?
Now the debut issue comes out. We said Wednesday, and then it's going to be an ongoing thing. The second one is April 11th. The third one is May 9th.
Yes,
is that correct?
But I mean, you're probably no better than me.
I'm reading, so.
But yeah, that's going to be a monthly book, and and then we'll collect it into big collections every time we get enough issues to do that.
And how many is enough issues to do that?
6 issues. So every 6 months or so, there'll be a collected book that appears in bookstores, but for now, comic shops only.
Okay.
So comicshoplocator.com if you need to find a comic shop near you.
And is this common that there's a run for issue one, and then they don't make any more? When it sells out, it sells out. Is that normally how it works in the comic book world?
People do a lot of second printings and things like that from time to time. But I don't know. I mean, we are overprinting to kind of meet the demand, because I feel like when you're a collector and you want to go out and get that book, it's nice to know that when I go into a store and I see it, that's the book I want. It's hard to keep track of what's a second printing, what's a third printing, what's a fourth printing. And, you know, it can't hurt retailers as well, because people will come in and be like, oh, I kind of wanted the first printing, I don't want the second printing. So we're just going to try and do this thing where we make a ton of first printings. And
so you're doing the opposite of what Apple does with their phones, where they make 10 and then they're sold out for 6 months. You're actually going to try and meet the demand.
Right. I'm going with opposite business practices of Apple,
the most successful company in the world.
Yeah, I was like, man, that's not really working out for them.
Debut issue drops on Wednesday, March 7th, at a comic book store near you. Our guest is Robert Kirkman. We have many more questions when we return right after this on KRAT. It's the return of our friend Robert Kirkman in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We've been talking about his new comic coming out on Wednesday called Oblivion Song. By the way, before we get into Walking Dead, where the F's my next season of Outcast, Robert?
Comes out in July.
Oh.
I'm very sorry for the delay.
Does it really?
Yes.
Nobody is talking about when it's coming out.
You weren't expecting an answer, were you?
I'll start marketing it soon, I swear. But yeah, Cinemax this summer, July. I don't know the exact date. I don't think
very good news. Thank you.
Publicly announced the exact date. So yeah.
We are in season 8 now, just past the halfway point or a little more of season 8 of Walking Dead on television, which has to still blow your mind that this is a show that has been on for this long, right?
It's a little weird, yeah.
And you did us all a favor with a deviation from the book to the television show recently, and we wanted to publicly thank you for that, Mr. Kirkman.
I have no idea what you could be referring to.
I suspect you knew this was coming. Kevin, you want to handle this?
Carl.
Although, Kevin, why don't you tell Mr. Kirkman what you told us after that episode?
None of us saw this coming.
Oh.
That was so well done.
Oh.
And so well acted. Rick and Michonne.
Yeah.
And even Carl.
Chandler did a great job in that episode.
He did.
I mean, I didn't want him to die.
Oh, my God. What? We did it just for you. And you didn't want it?
It was so amazing. And you could feel the heartbreak from Rick. And you just go, no, then I don't want him to die if that's going to hurt Rick so much.
Why couldn't you have anticipated that?
I don't know. That's a great question.
I had no idea the father would be upset. I just wanted that kid to die.
That never occurred to me.
This is like 6 years of you telling me to kill this guy. And then we finally do. And in the moment, you're like, oh, I regret this.
I want him back.
Oh, my.
Is it too late?
We've made a huge mistake.
Take us into the meeting now that it's happened. Please, take us into the meeting and tell us how a decision like that is made.
Yeah, I mean, it's long over many, many months. I mean, you know, Scott Gimple comes to me and he's like,
we need to kill someone.
He's like, oh, I got it. Well, it's not quite that arbitrary, but he's like, oh, I got a big one for you. We might want to be killing, maybe killing Carl this season. What do you think about that? And my initial reaction is usually negative. And so, you know, I'm like, yeah, that's not going to work. That's not going to work because of this, and this. And every now and then I'll be like, oh, you know, and there's these other five plots that haven't happened in the comic yet that you don't really know about. And we're going to be losing those. And, you know, you got to, you know, we take all this kind of stuff into consideration. But then, you know, weeks go by and we don't really nail down exactly what we're going to be doing until, you know, fairly early before filming. But we always have variations. Okay, it's either going to be this character or that character or for later stuff in the season. And sometimes it changes.
Right.
And so, so yeah, and then when it becomes kind of solid, and over those many months, I start to see, you know, the options and the different alternative stories that come from it, and it actually gets kind of exciting, and it's very hard for the fan base who doesn't see the things that I see to understand, you know, this is integral to the story for this reason, and it's going to lead to, you know, 50 other different things in seasons, you know, for the rest of season 8, season 9, season 10, hopefully season 11. Hopefully season 30. We'll see.
I was always told, and maybe you were one of them that told me this, that basically Carl's the one that will end up taking over. I mean, that's what I always understood was the plan.
He was the heir apparent.
Plans change. Yeah. Plans change. But I mean, I don't know that was, you know, I don't know. I mean, you know, I wouldn't say that's definitely even the plan for the comic, because he could die at any point in the comic as well.
Sure.
But yeah.
So when you talk about every time you make a decision on the show, it opens up options as to where the story can continue to go. So, and we kind of even saw that last night. I mean, Carl's death seems to be fueling Rick now more than ever to finish Negan, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't want to put this lightly, but it adds a certain – it adds an extra little kick of pepper into the story, if that makes sense.
Well, gratitude,
I don't know.
Yeah.
Does that sound terrible, talking about a character's death? But we're adapting the comic. The starting point is always what happened in the comic. The story is from the comic. And when you sit down to do those stories, every little change in the show has a ripple effect. So the fact that Andrea died much earlier in the show, the fact that Daryl Dixon exists, the fact that Morgan is still alive, there are characters that, you know, live longer. There are characters that go, and you have to adapt to every one of those changes, and that, you know, moves the story into interesting directions and helps us come up with new things, which is really exciting.
Sure. Why did Carl have that bad hair for so long, though? Because I feel like female options are very limited in the world of The Walking Dead. Wouldn't you want to look as good as you could?
Well, you know,
in the event that you run into somebody out in the woods,
one person's bad hair is another person's good hair.
Right?
So it's all a matter of opinion.
Plus eye patch.
That said, if you've got a gaping hole where your eye's missing, you might want to cover it just because you don't want people seeing that all the time.
Sure.
And two, you might want to cover that because it's a very expensive prosthetic process that takes a lot of time and money to achieve.
Wow.
When you could just hang some hair over it.
Could you ever say the words gaping hole again, please?
I said it earlier
in
the day.
You don't like gaping hole? What's wrong with gaping hole?
It's not something...
Is gaping hole not radio friendly? I apologize for the uncomfortableness that comes from you.
I think it's all right, but I respond to it poorly.
Oh, all right. I'll refrain from the gaping hole as much as possible.
Last night, spoiler alert for folks who were watching the Oscars and didn't see Walking Dead last night. What was last night? Was it episode 10 this year, I want to say?
Episode 10, yes.
10, okay.
Yes.
What are the trash people called, Robert?
Oh, good God. I don't know. Sometimes we call them garbage people. Sometimes we call them heapsters.
The heapsters. That's what
funny.
The heapsters.
Yeah.
The device that the heapsters have that I guess is like a trash compactor, right? A crusher?
It's a metal grinder. It's a thing that like grinds up metal into little bits so that it can be disposed of in a garbage dump. I think
you throw cars into it. Last night it wasn't grinding up cars, and I'm telling
you,
it was one of the greatest scenes, I think, in the history of The Walking Dead. It was so unbelievable to see that on television.
Why were you so happy to
see
that?
He has not stopped talking
because
about
it was
this
just,
all
because,
morning.
Look, because I've watched 10,000 hours of this show, and I just saw something that involved The Walking Dead that I'd never seen before. before. And that's a little bit thrilling when you see a device like that, I think.
No, I mean, it's pretty great to be achieving something like this in season 8, you know. At this point, people should be like, yeah, zombies, whatever, I don't care. but I do have to give it to the writers on the show. The fact that it is this epic scene of you know, hundreds of zombies falling into this massive meat grinder and getting ground up is, like, cool and awesome. And yay, gore, that's kind of fun. But... the fact that Jadis is like family and her people have been turned into zombies and she has to like watch them do this, but it's a survival thing. If she doesn't do it, they're going to kill her, but she still has to see it. And it's very emotional. I mean, the fact that you can throw zombies into a meat grinder, but still have like an emotional punch to it.
Yes.
I think is you know, it's really a testament to their work.
That's the secret to the show.
What goes on in there?
It is the secret
to bad.
The show.
It's real bad.
Well, it was outstanding. All right, so are we heading toward, can you just answer this? And I know you hate to answer questions, and you explained why. How close are we to the face-off, then, between Rick and Negan?
Gosh, I mean, probably going to happen towards the end of this season.
So no, you don't remember, or you don't want to say?
No, I mean, look, maybe a big moment in the finale. I mean, it certainly would be weird if we ended this season without a big face-off between Negan and Rick. But
it would be.
It would also be super weird if it happened before the finale, right? I mean, structurally.
You know what?
Got to make that last episode real big.
I withdraw the question. That's an excellent point.
I answered it exactly. Like, I told you pretty much exactly where it's going to happen, and you're still not happy. I don't know what to do.
That's true.
By the Walking Dead comic and watch the show Sunday nights on AMC. Don't forget Oblivion Song in stores, comic book stores, this Wednesday. It's brand new. Before you go, we got 60 seconds with Robert Kirkman.
This is just quick rapid-fire questions. You just say whatever comes to your mind.
Okay.
All right. Wouldn't it be a great thing if 300,000 people disappeared from Philadelphia?
Depends on which people.
In Oblivion Song, there are action words like WUD, W-H-U-D, THUK, T-H-U-K, Twakum? Were you drunk when you came up with those?
Just trying to make, sounds into words, man. Whatever.
What's the most ridiculous comic book character ever?
Oh, God. Sleepwalker. Guy sees a crime happening. He has to fall asleep, so a superhero comes out of his head. That's true.
Why did you have to be so heartless and kill Carl?
Because I hate life.
Okay. How much money do you have on you right now?
Like $35.
What's the thing most people would be surprised to find out about you?
That I never carry more than $35.
Do we need naked zombies on The Walking Dead?
Absolutely not. I regret it.
Although you don't know when it'll be, is it true that you already wrote the ending, the final episode for The Walking Dead?
I have not written it, but I do have an idea of what it is.
You know it's the whole story is going to end.
Yep.
Interesting. How does it end?
Well, I mean,
I'm out of time. Sorry. Robert, you're the best. Thank you for coming in. We always appreciate your time.
All right. It's fun.
Thank you. Thanks. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:53.
The Hollywood Reporter is reporting, because that's what they do,
right,
that the man who tried to steal Frances McDormand's Oscar from the party after the ceremony last night has been arrested.
Oh, God, it's Matt.
I don't think it is. I mean, Matt Bellamy. If it was Matt, he is tweeting it from jail then, because he's the one who alerted us to the news that man has been arrested. Even though Frances McDormand last night said, let him go. Don't do anything. So there's a story there to be told. And Mr. Bellamy is going to be joining us just after 9 a.m. to tell us all about it and other stuff we didn't see on the Academy Awards last night. First, though, Monday morning, Allie, what's happening?
What's happening is Childish Gambino has released 2018 tour dates, you guys.
Yay!
The excitement. I can't. By the way, his local date here at the Forum on September 26th.
All right.
I'm in. You're in.
Yep.
Let's make it a big family outing.
Nobody asked you, Kevin!
I mean, Kevin just really likes him, and he's just adding to the story right there.
I want to see him, too.
You can come. September 26th at the Forum, Childish Gambino.
Someone call someone!
And I mentioned this earlier. I want to mention it again for the people just waking up. Saturday night's Powerball lottery, no winner. So that makes Wednesday night's drawing valued at $348 million. That's a cash value, $207 million, if you'd like to take that.
That's, I guess, that'd be all right.
Insane amount of money.
I mean, if you don't take it in that one lump sum, they give it to you over 30 years or something like that?
It's something ridiculous years? And you're crazy to do that. Okay. But, right?
I don't know.
Why?
I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. Okay. I would take it.
Yeah. Same. Matt will be in, but here's your full list of Oscar winners. And by full, just the ones that I think matter. Best Picture, The Shape of Water. Best Actress, Frances McDormand for Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri. Best Actor, Gary Oldman for Darkest Hour. Best Director, Guillermo del Toro for The Shape of Water. Best Original Song, Remember Me from Coco. Best Original Screenplay, Jordan Peele's Get Out. Best Adapted Screenplay, James Ivory's Call Me By Your Name. Best Supporting Actress, Allison Janney for I, Tonya. Best Supporting Actor, Sam Rockwell for Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri. And Best Animated Feature Film, obviously, Coco.
Coco.
It's one of the best of all time, right?
A lot of people were very disappointed that it was not nominated for Best Picture, too, by the way.
It could have been. That movie moved me on a very bizarre level.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's a bizarre level mean?
Like, an animated movie to move you that much is shocking. And then an animated movie about something that maybe the most white, transparent skin, like, weta in the world could relate to. I was like, I get you, Mexicans. Day of the Dead. Those are my people. That's what I'm saying.
Is that what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying. Oh, I loved it so much. And this weekend's box office, people still went to the movies, and they are still lining up to see Black Panther. It's in its third week and made another $65.7 million.
That's crazy.
That is unreal. We should talk to Matt about that.
Yeah,
about
agreed.
What we talked about earlier, how... Could this be the change now that movies like a Black Panther are going to be nominated for a best film?
People, actually popular movies that people see?
Popular movies that people see, and it's not just some D-bag in a beret going, oh, yes, this was my favorite. Not saying that's you, Bean, with an accent, or really anyone.
If Bean's wearing a beret, I want a picture.
I need it. With one of those cigarettes, it's in the plastic thing. Oh, good times. That was number one, followed by Red Sparrow, which debuted at $17 million.
And I saw that. That was great.
You did?
Yeah, it was really great. Jennifer Lawrence is amazing.
Right? In
she
everything.
She's amazing.
How tall did she look next to Jodie
She looked
Foster?
Like she was 8 feet tall last night.
Which I think she's about 5'9".
Yeah.
But maybe with heels, she's 6'1". But Jodie Foster is taller than Chip and I. Granted, she was wearing flats because she had crutches. But
right.
She looked... minuscule next to Jennifer Lawrence.
She looked huge, but she's not.
No.
By the way, for folks who...
See, this is why I love having Matt Bellany in on the Kevin and Bean Show, because he has all the behind-the-scenes stuff. All stuff that we didn't even know about the Oscars.
So you tried to steal Frances McDormand's Oscar, and then what? You got caught trying to leave the building, or
can
what?
Can you believe that? The one place where there is more media than anywhere in the world, you were going to get caught if you tried to do that. The guy just snatches the Oscar and runs.
Isn't that crazy?
Why
that
would
he
get away with that?
I don't know. We'll see. He was arrested this morning, so we'll see.
Yeah, I saw your report on that.
Yeah.
Who caught him? Wasn't it somebody else in the entertainment industry that caught him saw him walking away?
I don't know the name, but apparently everybody saw it, and someone just grabbed him and said, hey, you can't do that. But the interesting thing is Frances McDormand didn't seem to be upset. She was like, don't press charges, whatever. But the cops felt differently.
She sure seems that way, doesn't she?
Right?
Yeah.
Who cares?
All right.
I half expected her to get up there last night and say, jet ski, and walk off. And say, where's my jet ski?
Well, listen, our friend Matt Bellany is always so kind to come in the day after the Oscars. It's a very late night the night before for him. He is the executive editor of The Hollywood Reporter. And we want to talk about the show a little bit, and then we really want to talk about the stuff we didn't see either off the air or afterwards at the parties. First of all, do you agree with us that Jimmy Kimmel is the perfect host for these times?
He's pretty darn good because he's so effortless. It almost seems like he's just doing his nightly show. There aren't a billion people watching.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't seem to bother him. We asked him if he was nervous, and he told us, seriously, not really.
Yeah, at this point, you know, he's done this before now.
Right, but I would think...
And it couldn't be worse than last year. It could not be worse than
last year. And last year, he was fine, too, though. Yeah. He was very good last year.
Oh, he did a great job at the show. It's just no one will ever remember it because they announced the wrong Best Picture.
Exactly, yeah. He did a great job, and not just, not just from a performing standpoint, but just... And I said this earlier, you're threading the needle in what is expected of you because there is a certain amount of heaviness that has to hang over the broadcast that you have to address. You can't just pretend that Me Too and Time's Up and Harvey Weinstein and everything else didn't happen. But the way he handled it, I thought, was so deft and so classy and also at times very funny.
Definitely. And in the room, you know, where I was, the jokes went over well. A lot of the prepared bits and the seriousness went over really well. I wasn't watching at home. I imagine a four-hour show is probably not great for ratings. But it, in the room, he was great. Everyone loved it.
I don't know how you make a Donald Trump joke that fails, but this was pretty strong.
None other than President Trump called Get Out the best first three quarters of a movie this year.
I mean, that's... so few words to say. Yes. So much. It's so good.
It was great. He had a number of zingers. Fox News, Mike Pence, a bunch of them.
Matt, does the broadcast need to be 4 hours long? Do you agree with all of the categories that are given out on the telecast?
Oh, of course not. I mean, everybody knows this. It doesn't take a genius television programmer to know that this show would be way better if they eliminated some categories from the live broadcast, but the Academy doesn't want to do that.
They have say.
Yeah, they've been unwilling to boot some of these other, you know, live action short film or, you know, some of these categories that nobody cares about.
Is it more important to them to actually recognize than it is they don't care about ratings?
They care about ratings.
They do care.
I mean, most of the revenue...
If they cared a lot about ratings, they would shorten it.
Well, it hasn't gotten to that point yet. Yeah. Maybe at some point, if the ratings get low enough where they've really got to make some tough decisions, but they are such hardliners on, you know, we honor film first and the show is second, and that's where they're coming from.
But even the film, I wouldn't know where to go see a short animated or a short document. You know what I mean? Like, I don't even know where to catch those movies, and let alone the foreign films and stuff.
And I'm guessing you don't care about that guy's mom and his brother and sister and all the people that he thanks for, you know, 5 minutes.
Look, I assume that all of those people should be thanked by that guy.
Right.
It doesn't make for good TV watching.
Exactly. Definitely not.
That's all.
You know, I agree with you, but I don't see it changing anytime soon.
Yeah.
How did you feel? We kind of had mixed feelings here in the room of the movie montages that aired during the Oscars last night. I thought they were so well done and so enjoyable. Kevin and Ali, I think, if I'm speaking correctly for you, thought that they were doing nothing but making the show longer. And obviously, we already like movies, so why waste our time with that?
Yeah, we're here to watch awards for movies. We know what movies are.
Right.
We get it.
So here, I talked to the producers about this. Here's the thinking behind that. They think that, you know, most of the people who go to movies these days don't go to the kinds of movies that win Oscars.
Mm.
So they have an uphill battle in getting the show to appeal to those people. So the thinking is, let's show them a bunch of montages of movies they have seen, or maybe there are a couple movies in there that they've seen, and you say, oh, I saw A Few Good Men. I saw Psycho.
That's the thinking.
It's more inclusive, and it brings the audience in. They're not for me, but I will say, if you're going to do montages, those are probably the best versions of montages that you could do. And they're professional, top-notch people doing them. But
it was well done. But when the first one came on near the beginning of the show, I was like, if you're trying to shorten the show, this is not the way to do it.
No. And at one point, they stopped even caring. It was just like, we're over. We're going 4 hours. You know, show them a military montage.
Here's a plot twist for the Academy. Maybe give awards to movies people have seen.
Yes.
Wouldn't that be crazy?
That is the eternal question. That was what was supposed to happen when they increased the number of Best Picture nominees to as many as 10. The thinking was, the superhero movies will get in. Wonder Woman, Black Panther, those types. No, it's more of the art house, smaller movies.
Will Black Panther get in next year?
I don't know.
I think it will.
I think it should.
I think it should, too.
But I think Wonder Woman should have this year.
Yeah, I would have voted for Wonder Woman as well.
I agree.
So I don't know, but, you know, it's a long year. They've got to start campaigning and doing the whole thing.
Right. Do you think popularity works against a movie?
Absolutely.
It does.
I think a lot of people, it used to work in favor. I mean, Titanic won Best Picture. But now I think the thinking amongst Academy members is they're trying to recognize movies that might not otherwise get an audience.
They should call it that.
Yeah,
we're going to highlight movies that maybe you haven't heard about.
I know.
Yeah, separate award ceremony.
The joke is there is a separate award ceremony called the Independent Spirit Awards, mm-hmm. but Get Out won Best Picture. A movie that made $300 million and was released by a major studio won the Independent Spirit Award just because it was a low-budget movie.
Yeah. But,
I'm not disagreeing with you, Ali, that there are great movies that are, for some reason, they seem to be too popular to get nominated. But a lot of those movies that are smaller movies are great, too. Just because people haven't seen them doesn't mean they're not awards-worthy.
No, I agree with that 100%, but it also means I don't want to watch your award ceremony for a bunch of movies that I don't give a S about.
And if you're going to nominate 9 and you have 10 positions, go ahead and put in,
put in 3 ones about a fish.
Yeah. Some people have said they should have a new category called, like, Best Blockbuster or something like that to honor these kinds of movies. I don't know about
that. Would that award just go to the one that makes the most money?
Probably. Yeah, yeah, it would probably end up being, like, Transformers 5 or something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
welcome
to the Fast and the Furious Oscars. Can't wait.
All right, Matt Bellany is here, executive editor of The Hollywood Reporter. We'll get into the parties after the Oscars and so much more with Matt right after this on K-Rock. Executive editor of The Hollywood Reporter, Matt Bellany, in studio with us here on K-Rock. You really deserve today off, Matt. I don't know what you're doing here.
I need an honorary Oscar.
We really appreciate that you get up so early and come in after you are out so late.
Only for you guys.
Is it empty around your offices today, or do you still have a paper to put out?
Yeah, we'll be in. We'll be in. We have breakfast, and then we've got our normal weekly magazine that closes today. So we got work to do.
I
got to
tell you, after our shows, after our concerts and shows and whatever, Mondays are just... There's not a
ghost
soul
town.
Here. It's a ghost town. We have to show up, and we do it, but there's no one else alive.
It's a slog, but you know what? It's not laying bricks.
Agreed.
It's not a coal mine.
Agreed.
Exactly. All right.
Let's start with a coal mine.
Let's talk actually, about this is very much similar to a coal mine in here.
Let's talk about how many Hollywood parties are there, and are there fewer than there used to be because of money?
I don't know if there are fewer, but after the show, there are, there's the Governor's Ball, which is the official Academy after party that everybody sort of goes and, shakes some hands and does some press. And the food is delicious there. The sushi bar, highly recommend.
That's Wolfgang Puck?
Yes, Wolfgang Puck does that.
Jimmy Kimmel and I snuck into that party one time before he had his Jimmy Kimmel Late Show, Jimmy Kimmel Live.
Interesting.
Snuck in through the kitchen.
Wow. And no one caught you?
Nope.
Wow.
That's a story you should write about if you've never covered it before. It's a funny story.
Yeah. The night that Kimmel snuck into the Oscar, the Governor Bowl. That's
funny. Wasn't the actual Oscars. We couldn't get in there.
But. Yeah, that's like Fort Knox. You got to, But
And what happens when there's a room full of really, really famous people? Do they fan out on each other?
Sometimes. I mean, especially when you have someone like Tiffany Haddish, who is sort of new to the whole big celebrity thing. And she was great on the show. And at the Governor's Ball, she was going table to table and, oh, I love you and I love you. And then she had her friends and was sitting, around. All these people were coming up to her.
Meryl Streep's her mama now.
Yes, Meryl Streep's her mother. but otherwise it's like a business function. People are going around, shaking hands, congratulating each other, saying you were robbed, all that stuff.
They do business?
Sometimes, people were talking last night about people were talking last night about who's going to get Greta Gerwig's next movie, the Lady Bird director. She apparently has written another script, and it's now being shopped around, so that was like the business thing. But everyone goes to Governor's Ball first, and then they fan out at different things. Like Fox had a party, they released Shape of Water, so they had a big party for all the talent involved in that movie and Three Billboards. There's the Vanity Fair party that some people go to. There was a big party that Jay-Z and Beyonce threw last night that I was not invited to.
Is that right?
I know.
You're hip-hop's Matt Bellany.
I know. Next year. That's my goal. But that was like the hot party that...
Can you imagine being cool enough to be invited to the Jay-Z and Beyonce party?
This is how cool that party was. The invitation was a bottle of champagne.
That's nice.
Okay.
I was cool enough to get invited to the Jimmy Kimmel private after party, which was amazing. He had a separate party just for his friends and people who he works with.
Oh, no. And how many people were there?
Probably a couple hundred,
Good.
And he has a lot of friends.
Yes, he does.
Matt
There's
Damon,
a lot of family,
yeah,
I'll tell
Matt,
you that
definitely. Matt Damon, Jennifer Aniston, Guillermo was there.
One of the funniest lines of the whole show, where he apologized after that military montage that Matt Damon was in it because our U.S. servicemen deserve so much better.
I know it's funny. Some people who don't realize that's a joke, like that they're friends. It's funny, but Kimmel got a bunch of restaurants from L.A. to kind of set up little booths at his party. So there's amazing burgers from like Shake Shack, and there was, a Bullet whiskey station.
Well, what a foodie Jimmy is.
He is a foodie, but he delivers for all of his friends, and there are like 15 different stations of all this amazing food and a band. And I didn't stay super late, but apparently Miley Cyrus was performing and a bunch of like other
people. Super late? What time did you get there? I was invited to this party. It started at 10 p.m., so I was like,
I don't know. And then I thought I have to dress up at 10 p.m.
Right. No, there were a lot of tuxes. I got there about 11:30, left at like 1:30, and it was still going strong. So I don't know. Kimmel's probably asleep right now.
That's amazing.
He said to say hello, by the way.
And for the next week. Oh, did he? He noticed I was missing?
Yes, he did. I know. You're going to have to write him a little note.
I'm an ass.
Matt Bellany is here, Hollywood reporter here on the Kevin and Bean Show on KRX. I wanted to ask you, just go back to the ceremony for a second. We were talking about this much earlier today. Are we at the point now where message received and now you're just beating us over the head with speech after speech after speech about what needs to change in America and in Hollywood? Or is it all so important that we need to hear it?
I think the answer is probably yes and yes, because I think people are a little sick of it. I mean, if you look at the early numbers of the ratings will be the least watched Oscars ever, probably.
Is that right? Yeah.
And, you know, I think... But on the other hand, you know, this is a gigantic platform still, and people who are in this industry use it to make change and to, you know, say what they believe. And if you look at someone like what Oprah Winfrey did at the Golden Globes, that was a speech that entered the dialogue of every, you know, average Americans every day, yeah. What she said. So you can be impactful. And, you know, I looked last night, and one of the things that was trending after the Oscars was inclusion rider, which is what Frances McDormand said at the end of her speech. And everyone was saying, what's an inclusion rider? It's basically an effort to get guaranteed diversity on a movie set if you include it in a contract that it has to be a certain way.
And that's everyone from the actors to the caterers to the writers, everyone. And Frances McDormand said, I found out about this 2 weeks ago.
Right.
I've been in this game 40 years, and I just found out.
I've heard about it, and I tweeted it last night because I've heard about that. But it's something that has never really gained traction because there's a lot of complications. If you guarantee diversity, you've got to live up to that, and then you could be sued if it doesn't have that. So studios are very reluctant to get into
any kind of... And you also have to be nervous, frankly, about not hiring somebody because they're the wrong sex or the wrong race.
Right. You want the best people for your movie or the people that you've been working with for 20 years and are comfortable with, and all of a sudden you've got to hire 50% people you don't know or who may not have worked on a movie like this before. So there are complications, but just the fact that she said that on a stage like the Oscars can, introduce something into the lexicon that ultimately ends up changing things.
I was so happy when she won. I was, please let her win. Please let her win, because I have no idea what's about to happen.
Absolutely. Yeah. There are so many predictable moments on the Oscars, and that was one where you said, okay, what's going to go on?
She wasn't even smiling walking up the steps.
No.
I was like, oh no, she's ready.
Yeah, she is a character.
All right. Last question from me, Mr. Bellany. Mm-hmm. And again, thank you so much for coming in. We really enjoy talking to you. And that is, will we look back on The Shape of Water as the Academy Award winner for Best Picture for 2017 and think it was the right choice in 10 years, or will we regret it?
That's a tough question. I saw some tweets last night of people saying, you know, wow, everyone is going to say in the year that Get Out was released, Shape of Water won Best Picture. So I think if you talk to people now, Get Out is the movie that's going to be remembered just because of all the issues that it raises and the fact that it made $300 million.
It was great.
A small horror movie. Yeah. And you know, Jordan Peele is obviously going to have a great long career now. But, you know, I tend not to ascribe too much importance to what wins Best Picture. It doesn't have to be some profound, you know, some movie that says something about it. It just has to be entertaining. And Shape of Water is entertaining. You know, I liked it.
And everyone loves Guillermo.
All nine were pretty entertaining.
Yeah, they were all, you know, it's like, I don't get too worked up about it. If it was a bad movie, like, remember the year that The Artist won, that silent movie that was pretty much unwatchable?
Yes, but I do. It was the dog.
Oh, my God. That actually made me, like, physically angry.
I was physically angry last year when La La Land won for a couple minutes.
Yeah.
Those were the worst 2 minutes of my life.
You were angry for 2 minutes and 23 seconds.
Yes.
All right, well, we're going to have to leave it there. What's going on THR.com today for people who want to check it out?
We got all the recaps, all the photos. We got an update on who stole Frances McDormand's Oscar. So you can go and check out the arrest on THR.com.
By the way, if you can get out of the building with it, it's yours, right? You get to keep it. That's the rules.
I think he probably thought that. He probably thought he could just run down the street and nobody would see him. There's no cameras.
I like that he ran.
Yeah.
All right, Matt, have yourself a great day. Get some sleep, man.
Thank you.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 9:37.
By the way, we were so busy with Mr. Bellamy, we forgot to mention Liz Harris from Hermosa Beach won tickets to see Imagine Dragons at the Forum and is qualified for the grand prize drawing of Destination Number 3, K-Rock Wheels Up 2018, Imagine Dragons in Sydney, Australia. Noon, 3, and 6 p.m. You still have chances to qualify for that throughout the day today and throughout the week on K-Rock. Details at K-Rock.com. Allie, Monday morning, what's happening?
Well, I'd like to give something away.
Call now. 1-800-520-1067. I love you.
I mean, I haven't even really said what it is. Oh, okay. Soto, if you could just hold off for a second. It is.
We got a winner!
Nope.
We don't
just yet. Mm. But it's going to be a pair of tickets.
We have a winner!
We have a winner, believe it or not.
I don't believe it because you don't even know what you're calling or what you're calling about.
It's just it.
We
have a winner. Because this is my house, bitch!
Pair of tickets to all 3 days of NASCAR racing. It's the weekend of March 16th at the Auto Club Speedway. You might know it's the biggest NASCAR event on the West Coast. It's the Auto Club 400 race. Tickets and info available right now at AutoClubSpeedway.com. But if you are caller 20 right now, you are going to get a pair of tickets to all 3 days of NASCAR racing.
I think we have a wiener.
I don't think so yet. The weekend of March 16th at the Auto Club Speedway. 1-800-520-1067. Call now. We'll get right back to you.
We won't.
Okay. Not sure if you guys saw this, but over the weekend, the Foo Fighters posted some music they're working on. They're working through some tunes, mm-hmm. and don't know if they're just trying to save time, but they have combined two songs into one. See if you can figure it out. And if you watch the whole thing, Dave does mess up the lyrics a few times. He said he will learn all the lyrics before the show. But that, of course, was John Lennon's Imagine and Van Halen's Jump.
It's so fun to see bands that are actually having a great time.
Yeah, looks like they actually enjoy each other.
I like that.
I do too, Kevin. The final run of the Warped Tour has been revealed. The 2018 edition will be the last one, but there are talks that a 25th anniversary celebration will take place in 2019, a celebration of some kind. A lot of people are saying that's the one that they're going to have, just all the bands that have played in all the past years. But the lineup for this year includes All Time Low, Simple Plan, Sum 41, Taking Back Sunday, and The Used. However, those bands are not playing at all the stops, so you need to look at the specific stop you're interested in, like Thursday, June 21st at Pomona Fairplex. You can see The Used, Simple Plan, Real Big Fish, and I said earlier, a lovely band at one of the other stages called D's Nuts. That's a real band. That's the real name. I respect it. Good stuff. Something else I respect. When The Rock posts a video saying, "Congratulations to my friends that are nominated for an Oscar, but I too was nominated." And he posts a video of him accepting an award for his movie that was nominated by the Razzies. If you don't know what the Razzies are, basically they picked the worst of the worst. It's the Golden Raspberry Awards, but his movie, a brand new contender.
The movie was so bad, they actually had to create another category. I'm not kidding. That category, the new category is a movie so rotten, you eventually fell in love with it. I'm not kidding. Which means the sandwich you have been eating is so bad that you eventually started to like it. Look, made Baywatch with the best of intentions. It didn't work out like that. But I humbly and graciously accept my Razzie. And I thank you, critics. Thank you, fans. And look, at the end of the day, movie so rotten you eventually fell in love with it. That's just the way love goes. All right, go Baywatch. Thank you for my Razzie.
That's awesome.
And Kevin's face during the whole thing was like, what? I loved it. It was an awesome movie. What is wrong with people? But the fact that, and Bean mentioned earlier, obviously, it's no skin off his back. He makes a zillion dollars for his movies. But
yeah, but he doesn't have to have that good a sense of humor.
No, he doesn't have to be self-deprecating and amazing about it. I just think he's... I just think he's a delight. I just think he's terrific. It's true. And Keanu Reeves is reportedly in talks to star in a new superhero movie for Netflix. Deadline is reporting that Past Midnight is a feature about a brand new kind of vigilante hero. I mean...
Brand new kind of vigilante hero.
What do you think that means?
Well, I don't know, because you got the sort of the anti-hero.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Hold on, let's watch Kevin work this out.
I don't know. I'm coming to the conclusion that I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Just about sums it up. Let's get out of here, shall we? Who's with me?
Me.
Mondays.
Let's do it.
Am I right? Bean, you still there?
Sure.
Some birthdays for you. Actress Eva Mendes and magician Penn Jillette. And that's what's happening.
Thanks, Allie, and your drive home today. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. We've got John Taffer from Bar Rescue, has written a book, and it's Book Tuesdays, like we do here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
I think that's a thing.
We have Doto, the International Man of Mystery. We have Matt Money Smith, who's running the marathon for the Justin Turner Foundation. I'm going to ask him how that's going.
Like a real marathon?
I think so.
I think he's only running half, though. Did I hear that right? He's only running half?
Still.
So he only cares like half about to charity, is the way I look at it.
Oh.
We'll talk to him tomorrow.
Okay.
And we've got your tickets also for April Foolishness tomorrow.